This is PFW in Progress.
What are you going to do today?
Whatever I feel like I want to do. God!
PFW in Progress with Fred Kirsch.
What did you do all last summer again?
I told you, I spent it with my uncle in Alaska hunting wolverines. They kept trying to attack my cousins. What the heck would you do in a situation like that?
Paul Perillo.
Are you going to eat your tots?
No. Can I have them?
Give me some of your tots.
No, go find your own.
Come on, give me some of your tots.
No, I'm freaking starved. I didn't get to eat anything today. Freaking idiot.
And Andy. And Andy?
Well, you have a sweet bike, and you're really good at hooking up with chicks.
Andy Hart.
Plus, you're like the only guy at school who has a mustache.
That's true.
Some guy named Tom.
If you need to use any of my skills, I can do whatever you want. Plus, I could be your bodyguard, too. Or like Secret Service captain or whatever.
Sweet.
And you never know, Lori might stop by.
She's the best thing that has ever happened to me. I'm 100% positive that she's my soulmate. I'm sure there's a babe out there for you, too. So.
PFW in Progress.
What the heck are you guys doing? Trying to ruin my life and make me look like a freaking idiot?
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress. Fred Kirsch and Tom Casale here. At least half of the A-team's here. I know I'm not part of any team.
Fred, I'm a little disappointed. I'm a little under the weather today, and I was thinking you might have to carry the show, but it seems like the fans have turned on you.
Fans have turned on me. No one likes me.
I don't understand, because last year I think maybe one email was negative towards you. Now, yesterday we got a good three or four that said, well, what happened?
I have a feeling that behind the scenes there's some encouragement going on for people to send me bad emails.
Oh, okay.
But that's okay. You know, I just come here and do my job, try to entertain the fans of the New England Patriots. If they don't like what I'm doing, well, you know.
I think it was that moment where you spent the time by yourself that might have hurt your...
Well, you know, when you're by yourself, you got to do something, right? You know, that was on my mind. I felt I needed to get it off the chest about T.O., and I did. All right. Anyway, we're here until 2 o'clock at PFW Progress. The email address is webradio@patriots.com. That's webradio@patriots.com. Phone number is 508-543-7482. And we already have a lot of emails.
Oh, good.
A lot of emails coming in.
I thought Friday on a bye week we'd be in good trouble.
Yeah, Friday on a bye week is a little tough, but, you know, it's a good time to talk about all things NFL, not just the Patriots. Although it is interesting to note that Troy Vincent was released from the Bills and... You know, I could see the Patriots looking at a guy like that.
To me, he's an older guy who's been hurt a lot. I don't know how much he's got left in his tank.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I understand the situation with Buffalo wasn't totally injury-related, but his play has dropped off the last couple years.
Yeah.
Now, obviously, he's a very smart player. He's intelligent. He's going to come in and learn the system quick. I'm just worried physically, how much does he have? Is he better than any of the options that they currently have? Because I wouldn't put him, you know, ahead of, like, Artrell Hawkins and guys like that.
Right, right. What's the status with James Sanders these days?
He's okay.
Yeah?
I mean, he hasn't played all that well.
Right.
But, you know, I think they'll look at Vincent because mentally he's a guy that would fit in here well. I just don't know physically if he has enough left for them to bring him in.
Okay. So, you know, I thought it was interesting. Plus, you know, it's not unusual for a team to pick up a guy that's available from a team that they're about to play.
Let me ask you a question. Do the Bills have to release him right now?
No.
So,
I don't think so.
They're so stupid that they wouldn't wait until after they play the Patriots, knowing that the Patriots would be one of the teams interested.
Well, it's the Bills.
I mean, just think about that. They couldn't wait one more week to drop the guy?
Yeah, I don't know what
that's just. That's just flat-out stupidity.
There might be something going on. I'm not sure. That whole situation with Vincent is kind of strange.
Yeah, something's going on there.
Something's going on.
And plus, with their offense, they probably figured, what's he going to tell them? We can't do anything offensively anyway.
You know, and Vincent is very high up in the Players Association.
Yeah, very high.
And actually, there was rumors that if Gene Upshaw ever stepped down, that Vincent could be the guy. You know, so he's that well-regarded. You know, so there might be something along the lines of Vincent knows every in and out of every rule, and that the Bills had to do everything to a T with that guy, and maybe they were just like, you know what, we're not even going to deal
with
this.
Well, if that's the case, he's not coming here.
Yeah, no, I know. And that's the thing. You know, teams often are wary of bringing in those types of players because they're kind of rabble-rousers. You know, they sit there and they get other guys, you know, so. But I just thought it was interesting that they had released him. Other NFL news going around.
Well, the Patriots re-signed Dan Copen. That's kind of a big deal.
Well, I think we should talk about that. That is a big deal.
To me...
Now, but I didn't do my research, and I apologize, but I'd like to know where now he ranks among the other centers.
I don't know. I know he wasn't even close to what LeCharles Bentley got.
Right.
It wasn't even close to that. But, see, to me, if there was a book like Football 101, to me, one of the obvious things in football is you build from the inside out. Now, if you look at the Patriots, do they have holes? Sure. But you know where they don't have holes now? Offense and defensive line.
Right.
Those guys are locked up with long-term contracts, and you're sitting pretty, and that's where you win football games. So I think now that you add Copen into the mix, you got all those guys signed. I mean, yeah, if there's an offensive lineman you like in the draft, you can take him, but it's no necessity now. You're sitting pretty. And, you know, I thought that was a very good signing because he's one of those guys that, you know, he's not flashy. He's not talked about on ESPN, but I think he's a very important part to the Patriots offense.
Rumors are that of the 20 or so million he got, $21 million, so about 7 of it is guaranteed. So that's a nice little payday for him. You know? I think you're right. It was good to see them get that. Now the two big names that are still out there that will be free agents next season are Daniel Graham and Asante Samuel.
Now Samuel's going to be the tough one.
Yeah.
Because I know Felger, who doesn't know much about football, says that Anthony Henry is a premier cornerback in the NFL. He is not. Okay, and he got something crazy, like $12, $13 million signing bonus. When you're a cornerback, that's one of the best positions to hit free agency.
Oh, absolutely.
Because there will be teams drooling over Asante Samuel.
And, you know, of course, his agent knows that. So unless the Patriots are willing to pay market value, this guy's going to want to test the free agency waters.
I would say that he would get more money than Ty Law. Because of his age. And, you know, he's having a good year so far. He's been a consistent player on a successful team. Cornerbacks, you know, tackles, defensive ends, when they hit free agency, look out, because people will overpay drastically for those guys. And I think they're going to have a tough time keeping Samuel here.
Yeah, so, you know, they'll have to start thinking about what they're going to do if he leaves.
Now, I heard that, and I don't know, I read somewhere as a report that they, I don't know if they made an offer, but they were like in a ballpark figure, and Samuel said no.
They're not.
That's not even close.
Uh-oh. Well, I don't even like the fact that he's commenting on it at this point. That means that he's very involved, he knows what's going on, you know, and...
Plus, when you look, he's already got 2 picks.
I know.
Now, he finishes the year 7-8 interceptions. That's going to stick in everybody's mind. He's a free agent. Here he comes.
Yeah,
boom.
Yeah,
I mean, remember when Lucas was signed by Carolina? He signed for like $14 million signing bonus. Henry signed for $12 or $13 million. To be honest with you, Samuel, I think, is better than Henry, and if not better than Lucas, at least on the same level as him. I think he might be slightly better. So you're talking about big money there.
Yeah. So that'll be interesting. But, you know, on this team, does he have that big money value? And that's the question. Does he have big money value on the Patriots? And that's all Belichick and Pioli are worried about.
Oh, right.
You know? So it's a tough one. I don't know the answer to that. You know, I don't know if the Patriots value him the way another team would.
Right. And the other thing, too, is that we don't have computer databases and books upon books of who's going to be a free agent next year, who's coming out in the draft. I mean, they look years ahead. So they know people who might be available next year where they may say he's comparable to Samuel and we won't have to pay him as much if we go after a couple of those players.
You know, the thing that the Patriots have to worry about, and they kind of learned a little bit of a lesson this year, is just because you want the guy
doesn't mean you're going to get him.
Doesn't mean you're going to get him.
Right.
I mean, they had Javon Walker set to take a flight here at least twice, and they didn't end up getting him. So
to me, that's their one weakness, is that they should be, they take that, I think, a little too nonchalantly. They need to be the ones that get Javon Walker in here first and don't let him leave. You know what I mean? Like Denver did.
Right.
That's really the only criticism I have of how they go about this process, is they kind of let other teams look at guys first, then they come here. Sometimes you need to be. If you really like someone, you get them here and don't let them back on the plane.
The one guy they did do that with was Rodney Harrison when they got him.
And look
right.
how that turned out.
Right. So, yeah, I mean, so we'll see what happens. It's going to be very interesting. Around the league, it looks like Leinart's going to start in the Sunday night game against the Broncos.
Bears.
I'm sorry, against the Bears on Monday night. What else is going on?
T.O. starting to flap his gums.
T.O. never shuts up. There's nothing new there.
Unprecedented 45-minute open locker room.
Unbelievable.
I don't know if the fans understand, but here, if you can get 5 to 10 minutes from a player, you've done good.
Right. Well, usually they have somewhere to go.
Right, exactly. That's what I'm saying. I'm not saying this is the Patriots' fault. I'm saying
they don't have 45 minutes.
Players are busy, so if they can give you 5 to 10 minutes of your time, that you'll take that any day of the week.
Right.
T.O. talked for the entire open locker room period.
Is it a done deal that Bledsoe's starting? Because I heard something that he may not, that maybe they'll put Romo in.
I think they could put him in if Bledsoe struggles, but I'm pretty sure Parcells named him the starter.
He named him the starter? Okay. You know, otherwise, no one's been caught drinking while driving lately. It's been pretty quiet.
It's been a pretty quiet week.
Yeah.
Nothing that I can, you know, you got the Miami situation where Harrington's going to start again.
Right.
You know, and that's something that's fixing to get ugly. I mean, if they don't win this week and drop to 1-5, it's already ugly.
Miami Jets game could be a good game to watch.
I think so.
Is that the game that's going to be locally televised here?
I think any Jet game, obviously last week is an exception, but most any Jet game is going to be fun to watch because I think they can move the ball on people, but they can't stop anybody.
Right.
So you're going to get an exciting game usually when you watch the Jets because they can't run the football at all.
And it'll be interesting to see how Cincinnati does this week, you know.
That's a team that they usually go out and pummel, but we'll have to see how they bounce back. They had the tough loss. Sometimes I think that's a bad time to have a bye. I know some people think that's a good time to have a bye, but when you get your butts whooped at home like they did, I feel like you want to get right back on the field and prove you're. A couple of them said that, one of them said that to me. I can't remember who said, you know, I want to get back on the field tonight.
Right.
And so I don't know if they'll still have lingering effects like in the first, second quarter of that game.
A sign that Pittsburgh's really desperate. They signed Chad Brown.
Yep.
So they must be really depleted at the linebackers. Were there some injuries?
Well,
after
Porter
that?
Is he? Is hurt. He's questionable for this week.
Oh, couldn't happen to a nicer guy. All right, let's get to some emails. WebRadio@Patriots.com. That's WebRadio@Patriots.com. The first one comes from James in Bagram, Afghanistan. And that's pretty wild.
Yeah.
It's great, though. It's great that we can do this and people around the world can listen. I do want to get an email from the space station up orbiting. I'd like to get an email from there. Then we've really kind of hit everywhere. He says, here's a topic of discussion that may be interesting for the listeners on Friday. One, officials out of bounds with clock stoppage. It appears that officials are inconsistent with this call. On sideline comeback routes near the end of the game, sometimes the official keep the clock running and sometimes it stops. I think it was week 3 and I don't remember the game, but a team was driving down the field using the sideline to control the clock, and on the next to last play, with about 34 seconds left, the receiver caught a comeback route and his momentum would have taken him out of bounds, but the head of officiating on the NFL Network said the defensive back had made contact with the receiver before going out of bounds. He claimed the official made the right call by keeping
There's
the clock
shock.
Running and granting the receiver forward progress and the extra yard. However, I have noticed in the following weeks that officials often do stop the clock, allowing the offensive team to save time and continue the drive. In this situation, is the correct call to stop the clock?
Well, you know, I compared officiating to communism, which might have been a little bit too harsh, but it's all propaganda. That's my problem with the officials. I know what kind of things he's talking about, and there'll be signs where a guy will clearly get out of bounds and they'll keep the clock running, but they'll never step up and say that they're wrong. That's the worst thing. We all know they're humans, and we all know that they're going to make mistakes. I just wish the head of officiating officials, what's his name?
Mike Pereira.
Stop insulting our intelligence. Don't tell us all those plays in the Super Bowl were right. Don't tell us that. We watch too much football, and that's what I wish. I just wish the guy would come out sometimes and say, hey, you know what? We blew one. We're sorry, but it's the NFL. We're human. That's life. I think we'd have more respect for him if he did that.
Well, that's the thing. You know, if the ref thinks that the guy got out of bounds on his own, they're supposed to stop the clock. Mm-hmm. But if they believe that he was tackled inbounds before he went out, they're supposed to keep the clock going.
Yeah, that's
really.
And there's some bad calls on that rule a lot of times late in the game.
Will from Omaha, Nebraska. Why, oh why, did the Patriots use a practice squad spot for a punter when Miller is having a great year, is injury-free, I'm assuming, and they have plenty of cap space? And how does Miller feel about all of this? He's the guy that goes to bat for Gostkowski's early struggles in his state of mind. So how is the Zen master himself having a potential replacement peeking over his shoulder?
Well, actually, most of that email isn't true. The last two games, Miller's been terrible. And that's because in Cincinnati, before the game started, he limped to the locker room with a trainer. He's obviously injured in some capacity. Now, we don't know how injured he is, but it was obviously enough to bring in another punter. And then if you look at the Cincinnati and the Miami game, he had, since I've been doing the matchup winners after the game, two worst net punting days since I've been here. So the injury is obviously bothering him. We don't know what it is. We just know before the Cincinnati game, he was seen walking into the locker room with a trainer. He came back. He punted in the next two games. He wasn't as effective, and now they've brought in the younger guy.
Yeah, I think you're going to see, they're going to use this bye to see how healthy.
Yeah, right. There's a chance this guy could be punting in Buffalo.
Right. So that's your basic assumption changes, I'm sure, your email now that you know that. Buzz from Mesa, Arizona says, sometimes you drive me crazy with your analysis, but nevertheless, I'm an avid fan and listen to your chatter as much as possible. We moved to the Southwest a couple of years back, and your show is one of the few links I have back home. Okay, I heard you mention a couple of things about comments made by Chad Jackson. I missed the whole interview. Can you shed some light on what he said, or can you send me the link to the transcript of his comments? I'd really like to close the issue on Chad Jackson.
Yeah.
It was something that happened in August. He was acting like a fool, and his teammates didn't like it at a public event. That's basically it. It wasn't in an interview or anything like that. He was just acting immature.
And unfortunately, I was one of the only people that saw what happened when he came in. And so I'm kind of hung out to dry.
It's really not that big a deal as long as it's an isolated
incident. And I guess, I was under the assumption, Fred, if I had mentioned that, people would have just taken my word for it. But I guess they've been burnt by the media too often in this town that they don't take your word. And you know, as I started telling the story, I didn't feel in my mind that I should continue it because I could get in trouble, and I didn't want that to happen. So
it's just he was acting immature at a public event, the Patriots Kickoff Gala, which is a charitable event. Some of the veteran teammates didn't take that kindly to it, and I'm sure they've since that time taken him aside and said that's not how we act when we're in public.
And to be fair to him, he hasn't done a thing wrong since. I mean, He's acted fine since. I mean, before that, kind of in the locker room, he was acting kind of like a Harrison. You know what I mean? Like he had been here for years.
Right.
And I think they needed to knock him down a peg. And that's exactly what that night actually might have turned into a positive, because I think the veteran said, hey, you know what? You've never caught a pass in the NFL. Stop walking around this place like you own it.
Right.
And he's been fine ever since. Now if he can just get that hamstring, which is that lingering hamstring is something that is hard to hard to overcome. But if he can get out on the field, just the threat, because like we saw in the Jet game, I don't know if people could see it on TV, but when you're in the press box and you're looking down at Gabriel and Jackson, Jackson's getting off the line no problem. He's abusing the guy going up against him. Gabriel was having trouble with his guy. And I just think talent-wise, you know, Troy Brown is older, so we're removing him. But talent-wise, the other receivers are not even in his class.
Yeah, no, he should be eventually the number one receiver on this team, barring the emergence of any free agent or another draft pick that they pick up. Raymond from California, what's up? I read a report earlier that Troy Vincent was officially released by the Bills. I know the Patriots worked out a couple different safeties earlier in the season, but I don't remember them actually signing any of them. What do you think the chances of the Pats are landing Troy Brown? And if they do, what kind of impact do you think he could make in the secondary? Well, we let off talking about that. And, you know, he's an older guy. Definitely
could all depend on his health.
Yeah.
You know, how healthy can he be for you?
He could definitely learn the system well. I think right now the Patriots kind of, I'm not going to say they're okay in the defensive backfield. I think if there was a good corner out there, I think that's a cover corner.
I'm with you. I'm more that they need, like, maybe another slot cornerback.
Yeah.
Because they tried Hobbs in the slot against Miami, and whew, that was a disaster. Wes Welker beat him like a drum. And I think you're right. I think if it was a defensive back, it would be more of a cover guy. Now, I know Vincent used to play corner, but he's getting up there in age now, and it's not the same thing.
Yeah, so, I mean, you know, you look at the way the Patriots started this season, and, you know, Tabucky Jones was in the mix, and, and you know, you figured, well, when Harrett, man, they're going to be really deep. But, you know, Jones got hurt. Gay got hurt. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know he's a corner. And then there was another guy that got hurt who was a safety. I forget who. Who was the other guy that that got taken? I don't know. But anyway, the depth that we thought at the beginning of the season, you know, especially with Tabucky Jones, just, you know, isn't there. So, you know, I think if they thought that he could help out, they'd definitely look at him. But I haven't heard anything. Well, it just happened today. So I'll have to read Mike Reese's piece tomorrow to find out if they're interested in it. Let's see. Frederick comes in from Quebec City. I would assume that's from in Quebec.
That's my guess.
Yeah, because it's got the little accent thing over it.
Oh, okay.
I'm really addicted to your show, he said. You said this week that you have no ratings when talking about the Jackson's Gate, but do you have – oh, Jackson Gate, I guess, like Watergate – but do you have any idea of how many listens there are? Oh, no, we know how many listens there are. There's thousands of you out there.
Yeah.
I mean, that we know that. We just – they don't rate internet radio like they do regular radio.
When WEEI goes up against 790 The Score, the only thing that matters is the number they get. That's what the rating is. Like, they don't care how you get it. When those books come out, they want to see what that number is.
Right.
And if it's not good enough, they'll make changes to make sure that it is.
Right.
So that's what ratings are. We're not competing with those guys. We're just – I mean, this is a free internet radio show that we just put together, the team put together.
Yeah, we have tons of listeners, thousands of listeners.
I do not care about the numbers.
You know, from all over the world, as you know. You're emailing and listening from Canada. Just had an emailer from Afghanistan, for crying out loud. He goes on to say, Owens, I think every Patriots fan dreams to see him catch Brady's passes. Not me anymore. But anyway, he says, at the same time, it would give Jackson and Gabriel a huge break and make them a lot better. Just thinking that Moss would bring on his side Champ Bailey and Lynch, I think it gives the Patriots a chance at the Broncos. Well, yes, so Moss would do that. I am just wondering what would be the cost of that trade. My question to you is, what is the maximum value that you're willing to give for Owens? I think he means Moss.
Moss, yeah.
Yeah, he keeps writing Owens, but I think he means Moss. Only draft picks, or would you be willing to send a mix of players and picks? If players, which position would we afford to trade? To me, the only tradable guys is Dylan, but who would want him with his actual contract?
Dylan's not.
No.
He's untradeable. I don't think they would trade any guys. It would be draft. Oakland would be looking for draft picks.
I'd give them one of our firsts.
It would have to be a first. But
that's it.
I think Oakland would ask for a first and maybe a third.
Yeah, maybe, but, you know, I wouldn't go much higher than that.
Well, let's put it this way, Fred. Deion Branch was traded for a first.
Right.
Okay? And he can't clean Moss's car. So let's be honest. The Raiders are going to want more than a first-round draft pick for Randy Moss.
All right. Weekly Pixie says, I'm podcasting your show, so I am often listening to them a few days later. I do really appreciate your weekly picks, but I would truly appreciate if we can have a text summary of all your weekly picks posted on the website. It could be fun to follow the weekly rating of each of you and be a useful guiding tool for our weekly bets. Fred, if you're using our picks for your weekly bets, you're in trouble.
Yeah.
All right. Jason, let's take a break. We'll be right back.
Yo, I'm Diane.
And this is Elaine.
We're the twins, and you're listening to Patriots.com Radio.
The New England Patriots won an amazing 3 Super Bowl championships in 4 years. Relive these defining moments in Patriots history with a limited edition print featuring action photos and images of the 3 championship banners that now hang at Gillette Stadium. And if you think that's good, how about having it signed by perennial Pro Bowler Richard Seymour?
Gonna be shot, Richard Seymour.
This autographed print exclusively from the New England Patriots is perfect for every Patriots fan. To take advantage of this incredible one-of-a-kind offer, all you need to do is make qualifying transactions on the Patriots Extra Points Visa card. Plus, with your card, you'll earn Patriots Extra Points redeemable for once-in-a-lifetime Patriots experiences, tickets, and much more. Don't wait. Apply at PatriotsExtraPoints.com or call 1-800-NFL-9929 to get your Patriots Extra Points card and free 3 championship banner print signed by Richard Seymour. Patriots Extra Points, because fans want contact too. Autograph card limited to the first 300 with qualifying purchase. Visit PatriotsExtraPoints.com for details.
Hey, sweetie, when I picked up the dry cleaning today, I put 43 cents into our savings.
I'll alert the media.
Introducing Keep the Change from Bank of America.
And at lunch, I put away 61 cents.
Really?
That much. Each time you buy something with your Bank of America Visa check card, we round up the amount to the next dollar and transfer your change from your checking to your savings account.
I checked online, and so far we've saved $2.25.
Wow. A whole $2.25.
Try $225.
Oh. Plus, we'll match 100% of your Keep the Change savings for the first 3 months and continue matching 5%. Up to $250 a year.
I'm back from the store. Just saved 8 cents.
I'll alert the media.
Open a checking account and keep the change. Only at Bank of America. Higher standards. Match paid annually after anniversary of enrollment. Savings accounts include regular savings with annual percentage yield of 0.5%. Member FDIC. Patent pending.
It's here at your local Ford store. Comprehensive coverage on every vehicle we sell. That's right. Ford stands behind every 2006 model with a 5-year, 60,000-mile powertrain extended service contract at no extra charge. Every Mustang, every 500, every Freestyle, every Explorer, even every F-Series truck. Every new 2006 Ford vehicle comes with a 5-year, 60,000-mile powertrain extended service contract at no extra charge. That's security. Plus, right now you can get 0% financing on select Fords. 560 coverage, 0% financing. At Ford, we're with you every step of the way. See your local Ford store or call 1-877-4410. Ford, bold moves.
Come on, baby, let's go.
How are you? Please, sit down. What's the reason for your visit?
Well, doctor, I need to ask you about something that I've been feeling lately.
Go on.
Doctor, you see, every time I drink Pepsi, I start hearing this. It's here in my head, and it seems like it's coming from inside of me. And then I start feeling an urge to dance and jump, and a strong sensation of happiness fills my whole body.
What else?
You know, I take a sip. And suddenly, my hips start shaking, and my feet start sliding, and it happens when I'm with my friends, at school, out in the street, at my granny's house, even when I'm at the movies. It happens everywhere. Tell me, what is it? What is going on?
Well, I know what your problem is.
Yes?
You're out of tune. The song goes like this.
Pepsi, it's the cola.
All right, welcome back to PFW in Progress. Fred Kirsch and Tom Casale. And joining us is Andy Hart and Paul Perillo. They come down from the offices to join us on a Friday. It's always something new on a Friday these days. Fridays are getting to be, it's like free-for-all Friday. You never know who might stop in. You know,
maybe The Rock will stop by.
Yeah. Hey, that would be great. Can we get him? Jason, you work? Can you effort that?
I'm on it.
Okay. Webradio at Patriots.com is the email address. Webradio at Patriots.com. Guys, since you just stopped in, what's your take on the Copen signing?
I think it's a good signing. I think it's another one of those that doesn't get all the attention. It's not the flashy losses that they have with a guy like Branch or Vinatieri. But I think it falls in line with a Matt Light re-signing, a Jarvis Green re-signing. Guys they like that are in the system. They know what their skills are. They know what they have. Not market-setting deals by any measure, but probably fair deals. And they're just comfortable with the player. The player's comfortable here, so they work out an extension.
You got to turn your mic on, Paul.
There you go. I don't know about you, Fred, but I found out that by listening to Andy Hart on ESPN Radio Boston yesterday. That's how I got my news.
I found out by Len Pasquarelli.
Screw Len. Excellent signing for the Patriots and for Copen. It was a good deal for him. He probably could have gotten more if he had waited and reached the open market. But, you know, he obviously wanted to stay here. He's obviously, you know, very ingrained with that offensive line and that group. I think that, you know, I can't say this for sure, but my guess is that he's probably Tom Brady's closest friend on the team, Stan Copen. And, you know, that, you know, is that worth it to stay with, you know,
I
for
would say
a few extra million to go elsewhere? I think probably it's worth it for Copen.
He's been up here now for, what, 8 years with his time at BC, his time here, so clearly probably became comfortable the New England and Boston area. So,
and I want to get your guys' opinion on something. First, I said this is kind of like football 101. You build from the inside out. Now, the Patriots have solidified the offense and defensive lines pretty well with the long-term contracts. And also, I said, you know, Felger said Henry from the Cowboys is a premier cornerback, so it shows his little football knowledge. But he signed for $13 million. Dollar signing bonus. Lucas that same year, Ken Lucas, signed for $14 million. And I said, I would have to say Asante Samuel is better than Henry, at least on the same level as Lucas, if not a little bit better. So I feel he's going to be the tough one to re-sign, because when you get a cornerback on the open market at his age that's had success like he has, they throw tons of money his way.
And that sounds like the way it's playing out. I saw that John Tomasi contacted the agents for both Graham and Samuel, and the comments from Samuel's agents were kind of like, the ball's in the Patriots' court. You know, we'd be willing to do something, but it's going to take some money. They're not just going to sign for a hometown discount, quote-unquote.
Yeah, he's going to be the tough one, I think.
And I think that's the reason why. You know, as a cornerback with some talent coming off potentially a good, I mean, he's got two picks.
He's got two picks now
already.
He could end up with seven or eight picks.
Potentially coming off a solid season. There's going to be some money out there for you. So if we're going to stay and give that up now, you got to give us something for that.
Yeah, the only way, well, I got to be honest with you, if I'm the Patriots, if Samuel wants to re-sign and stay here, it's one of those deals that he wants to stay here. That's the only way I see the Patriots getting him back. Otherwise,
I agree.
I do not blame the Patriots one bit. If those are the numbers, if Tom's numbers that he just quoted for Henry and Lucas are right, he's going to get something around that on the open market. No way do I give Asante Samuel a $13 million signing bonus. No way. Not even, I don't even contemplate it.
But what's your plan to replace him?
I get young guys in just like I did with Ellis Hobbs last year, and I keep doing that. I can't just pay. Just because I'm in a position where maybe my depth isn't where I want it to be, I can't give a guy more money than I really think, that much more money than I really think he's worth. All due respect, I might be the biggest Samuel backer on this show, but come on. A double-digit signing bonus for Asante Samuel? No chance.
Yeah, I mean, but
no chance for me. Now, he might get it. I think Tom's right. I think he will get it, but he's not going to get it from me.
So, but what is it then, you know, do we criticize the Patriots for that, or do we laud them for that, that their value system is so rigid?
Well, on that one, I would laud them because I think they're right.
I think you got to take it on an individual basis.
Case-by-case basis.
It's just the cornerback position then, that position on the open market.
Yeah, it's like I said before, tackle, cornerback, and defensive end. When those guys get out there, it's, you know, it's a free-for-all because you're always looking for corners, you're always looking for guys. And, you know, we follow the team so closely, but when you get Samuel out on the open market, you're going to have teams that need corners.
Why don't other teams do what the Patriots do?
Do what? you know, well, the Eagles do.
The Steelers do.
The Eagles made one mistake. We all know what that was. I think they were so close to the Super Bowl they could taste it, and they got a little antsy. And but other, I mean, they let Corey Simon go. They let Jeremiah Trotter go.
Yeah, yeah, that's true.
And you know, they haven't flourished. Yeah. Trotter had to come back. The yeah. Steelers. I mean, who did the Steelers sign?
Right, right.
No, I think there's a lot of teams that do it on an individual basis.
Yeah. Okay.
Titans. I think you think that the Patriots get criticized more for it because we're in New England. We're following the team so closely. We read everybody's articles. But I'm sure there's people in Pittsburgh saying, you know, well, why did they let this guy go? Why did they let that guy go?
Right.
And the latest criticism, I would say, is a combination of letting people go and not necessarily having a backup plan. You know, you lose your two top receivers.
Right, right.
Now all of a sudden you're scrambling. You don't have production there. You know, you were all gung-ho to sign Ty Law. You didn't sign. I mean, did you not have backup plans in place?
You know, I could tell you back in the late 90s when Pittsburgh was coming off their Super Bowl, they lost to Dallas. You know, and that kind of era was unfolding. They were roundly criticized nationally for being cheap. You know, guys like Javon Kirkland, Chad Brown the first time around. I mean, they never re-signed anybody.
Yeah.
And they were just letting
lost
everybody
the receivers,
go.
Thigpen.
Yeah, Yancey Thigpen was another one. And Tom's right. If you look at him, it's kind of eerily similar because most of those guys didn't have a tremendous amount of success once they left. You know, Thigpen's a perfect example.
Yep.
He got a ton of money.
He was always hurt.
Yeah, a ton of money from Tennessee, I believe it was.
Okay. All right. Anything else you guys want to add in here before we get to the emails?
Well, did you see they're putting up the signs? They must be shooting some tunnel scenes. Yeah, they're the Boston Rebel signs up
for the movie that they're... Now, what's the name of the movie?
The Game Plan.
Game Plan. It's with The Rock?
Yes.
So, they're shooting that here. Now, I read somewhere today that a bunch of writers were...
And Paul wasn't one of them.
I
can you believe Paul didn't get the call?
So, who's in it?
Don Banks.
Did you know he lives around here now? Do you know he lives in Brookline?
Who? Don Banks? Yeah, he moved here.
Oh, I figured
he's on
Felger's
show
every week.
Yeah. Apparently
he's dating a woman and he moved here.
Yeah.
Who lived here?
Yeah.
I don't know if I should be
I guess that's the beauty of working for Sports Illustrated is you can move anywhere you want.
Yeah.
You can live anywhere you want as long
talk
as
about,
you're a major city.
You talk about the Mecca. I mean, that's a job. If you can work for Sports Illustrated, man, you've not only hit it big because they're Sports Illustrated, but that's life right there.
I'm reading a book now that Andy would probably like. It's called The Plagiarist. And
I don't get that. What does that mean? Why are you taking a shot at me?
No, and I'm not saying you're a plagiarist,
but it
has to do with like this one magazine that's sort of like the country club of magazines. And once you get there, it's kind of like you get paid more. Everything is better.
It's like
this
PFW.
Magazine, but it's dysfunctional.
No.
You know? So
we got that part.
I understand why a lot of
Andy's the only one of this group that reads. So
I read a little bit.
Do you read a little bit?
No, I read reviews.
Oh, okay.
I understand why a lot of writers make more money than I do, but why Scoop Jackson makes more money than anyone that I know is beyond me.
Simple.
I mean, for Scoop Jackson to be at Sports Illustrated is a slap in the face to any hardworking
Scoop Jackson
journalism.
At Sports Illustrated?
You didn't know that?
Wasn't he the guy that was on ESPN for a while?
Oh, yeah, he's the guy that's on the Jim Rome show that can barely talk.
And he can barely write.
I
can't follow what he writes.
He's a Sports Illustrated writer.
That's just them trying to be more like, oh, we're two old white guys. We need to become a little more edgy. Yeah, a little edge, a little change our demographic here, a little... Try and take some of the ESPN, the magazine audience. That's a joke.
Anyway, a lot of the better known football writers have a bit role in this, you know, in a press
including conference. Ron Borges.
Ron Borges is in it.
He could be in two major motion pictures in the next like 6 months with Rocky VI and this.
Yeah. The one thing I'm
see get cut could get cut out of both.
Kind of disappointing about this movie is that the NFL didn't allow them to use the NFL mark.
Stupid.
You know,
because that would make it so
when
much
you watch
better.
These movies about pro football and you see like. You know, the Tennessee Rebels and things like that and these weird uniforms, it takes away from it.
Although, apparently that wouldn't have carried it because whoever is their expert or deciding things, I guess The Rock wears number one.
Yeah.
Stupid.
It's stupid. And it's like doing a show about
stupid.
America and they can't use the American flag. Well, you know, what good is it, you know? I don't know. Anyway.
I can't believe you're against the league right now.
That's a weird stance for you.
I understand that it had nothing to do with the movie itself. It had to do with the merchandising around the movie. Disney's going to heavily merchandise this, and if they're going to merchandise the team, they're going to need to use the Patriots logo everywhere, if that's the logo of the team. And so that was the problem. It wasn't the movie per se. It was all the ancillary things they were going to do with
Question.
The movie. What?
Could the Patriots have undercut the league by offering Pat Patriot the old logo? That's not your current league logo.
That is also owned by the league.
Oh, it is.
Yes, it is. Yep.
Thought I had something there.
All right, Josh from Arlington, Virginia. Do the Pats go after Troy Vincent? We talked to this about this, but he has some more comments about it. He says, no offense to James Sanders, but I think they should at least make a strong play for him. He might be a little older, but he had the best year of his career last season. This seems like a good investment for some of that extra cap room. Probably an attractive price, too. You can never have enough quality secondary guys.
I'm not sure what stats he's looking at, and I guess if you give up 800 yards on the ground every game, it'll look like he had the best season of his career, but he did not. His game has been slipping for the last couple seasons.
All right.
I don't know what you guys think.
I don't have any info.
But
I said
mentally he's a guy that would fit in great here because he's smart and he can play, you know, he can play different positions. But physically, I just think he might be too run down. I don't know how much he has left in his tank.
I think of him lower than like a Chad Scott right now. And maybe he could bring some. But I think there's going to be other teams that probably place a higher value on him than that. You know, one of our columnists wrote something. I think San Francisco is going to be in the mix. Yeah, I mean, if he had no other offers, I'd bring him in as, you know, to be one step above Hank Poteet, so I don't have to go that route again. But I'm certainly not going out to make him a key part of my secondary over the second half of the season.
Okay.
And I think that like a San Francisco is a good place for him because they're a young team, and you bring an older veteran guy in like that
yep.
can teach some guys some things. Here, I don't see it.
Are the Niners interested in him?
I was just going
That's
by
what I call him this report.
Oh, okay. The whole thing, well, I don't think...
Paul's finished his pizza.
I don't think it... No, not even close.
Oh.
I don't think it's a good fit. He's strongly involved in the players' union.
That's what Fred was saying.
That's what I was saying.
Not
yeah.
a good fit.
Yeah. Barry from the OC. What, Andy?
We don't like players that are involved
well,
in
Well, you always have to be wary when you bring one
like
of them
Fred
into your locker
said,
room.
Like Fred said, you know, he makes sure everything's done right, and he'll let players know if, you know, hey, you know, you should be getting there. But, and
so the implication from Paul there is that things aren't done legally here, and you're bringing in an outsider who would blow
the whistle. Well, not necessarily legally.
Paul, I already made that implication before you came down.
Well, I'm sure Fred didn't have the same implication with that I did.
He was actually thought to be one of the... in line to take over for Gene Upshaw if Gene Upshaw ever retired or moved on. So he's that highly regarded in those circles. It's like a Sam Gash guy, troublemaker. Barry from
Sam
the
Gash was a troublemaker?
Yeah. No,
I don't think Troy Vincent's like that, but anyway.
No. But Sam was a complainer.
I'll need to be resuscitated.
If everything was perfect for Sam, well, he was a great guy, but the minute something went wrong, he was a complainer.
Yeah, well, I've
Sounds
never
like
heard
Paul.
That. I've never heard that about Troy Vincent, but anyway.
But you did hear that about Sam Gash.
Yes.
Yeah.
No, I did. I did hear that about Sam Gash. If you see fit someday when you find out that Gene Upshaw is retired from his position, you need to send medical attention to my house immediately because I will need to be revived and resuscitated because if he ever leaves that job, I think I'll have a heart attack. I'd be so stunned.
He'd be crazy to leave it. Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
Yeah. Paul's dad is going to be at Gillette in March. There's a big festival coming?
Yes.
What's he doing?
He's festival.
Just so people didn't know, Paul's dad is the president
times.
Of Pop Warner.
Literally, because that's Pop Warner.
He's the president of Pop Warner.
Paul. Also the father of Pop Warner.
It's Pop Senior.
Paul, for some reason, that really bothers Paul. He does not find it in any way amusing.
Well, he doesn't want to, you know, pretty soon he's going to be traveling in the same circles as Tony La Russa and Billy Donovan.
What?
You
know? No, that ain't happening.
I don't see the budding friendship that you apparently see between Bill and Paul.
Well, that's why I left him out.
Well,
but you
know, be in those circles.
One of the creators of the game, basically, you know, or revolutionizers of the game. Paul's he's had enough of us.
It's true.
He's eating his pepperoni pizza. He's as happy as a pig in you know what right now. Let's see, Barry from the OC. I know there's not a lot going on right now with the Pats being off, so I thought I'd write in during this lull. Boy, that's That's not a high recommendation of this show today. I listen to the podcast usually one day, and I have noticed how long the shows are. Thursday's show is almost 6 hours. I won't get through a whole listening at work. Why is it 6 hours? Ferreira!
We're not even here for six
well,
hours.
That should be a problem. That's a problem.
Paul hasn't put in a six-hour work day in months.
I knew that was coming.
Yeah, that shouldn't be. We'll have to talk to it. I mean, the show is 2 hours, right?
Yeah.
Now, the only thing I can think of is if Chris
is
made
packaging
a mistake
them all
and,
together.
And packaged them all together, but they should be separate.
Should be. PFW in progress, Patriots playbook with
well,
John
we haven't
Rook
even we weren't well, even putting those up.
Maybe this was a bad day for Ferreira to be tooting his own horn about how good he is.
How much better and how much more he knows than other webmasters.
Well, that is true. That is true. He's a very good webmaster.
Super fan.
But,
super fan Ferreira.
But
apparently is not super
yeah,
webmaster.
Yeah, I mean, Barry, my suggestion to you is just listen to the first 2 hours and then, you know,
my suggestion is email your complaints to webmaster@patriots.com.
No, but who wants to download a six-hour file? That takes half a, you know. That's wrong. There must have been a problem with either the day you're doing it or something. But
we'll fire him. Don't worry.
He also says, I remember back in the days of Super Bowl 31, I would get my PFW about 2 days after the week's games played, despite paying the extra fee for first-class delivery. But then again, I was in Hawaii. Sounds like delivery timing is still an issue, but at least subscribers have the Internet now. In fact, I don't remember ever reading about the Pats on the Internet during the mid-90s. And just 10 years later, you could literally spend 24/7 absorbing everything about the team and players with all the available news sites, message boards, podcasts, video streams, etc. I think the fact that every bit of info is so readily available has made sports fans more informed, but also bolder, to the point that many feel that they could coach the team better than a future Hall of Famer like Belichick. I guess that's just the price of progress. I'm glad that most emailers note where they're from, and it's great to hear that you've got listeners all over the world. Out here in Southern California, there are plenty of New England transplants, so I'd like to let them know that we have a fan club called the Orange County Patriots Fans. Yes, he does. It's registered on Patriots.com, as a matter of fact. We used to meet at National Sports Bar, but have relocated to Fox Sports Grill in the Irvine Spectrum. And if anyone wants to watch the game with a home team crowd, they should definitely join us. More info is available at ocpatsfans.com or our OCPF Yahoo group, which can easily be found by a Google search.
So this guy's lived in Maui and the OC. He picked some pretty good places to
Maybe he's a lifeguard. I don't know. I'm going to start shopping for a waterproof iPod this weekend because if the shows get any longer, I'll need even my time in the shower to continue listening.
We'll fix that problem.
So, we'll have it's a two-hour show.
Right. We're the only thing that's really worth listening to.
Ryan writes from New Brunswick. Says, I thought you might have a slow Friday, being the bye week and all, so I'd like to propose a fun activity. We're going to do some crafts now.
With everybody thinking this is going to be a slow Friday, we got a heck of a lot of emails.
trash talk.
They do know that Fred is in charge on Fridays. What? It's okay if you take shot at me.
Trash.
You have my support.
Why is that okay? Explain that to me.
Trash talk on behalf of the New England fans. Let's pick our next opponent, Buffalo, pick out the worst offensive starter and worst defensive starter for Bills, and tell us why they're so bad and why the Patriot player they would match up against will whip them. Please have fun. Use adjectives, superlatives, and hyperbole as required. So a trash talk Friday is what Ryan is proposing.
Who's the worst player
we
on the
field? We do that every
offense?
Day, though, don't we?
Yeah. You do.
I do?
Yeah, you yell.
I hope you break a leg.
I never have said that in my life.
Suck.
Wow.
Anybody watch The Office last night?
Yeah, I did.
It was good. I thought it was good.
It wasn't drop dead funny like the first two.
No,
but it was
more
decent.
Subtle.
Yeah.
I love the line, you know. I think
this is what Ryan meant to.
we had a funeral for our whatever gerbil when I was five, and I remember thinking I was too old for that then. That was a good line. I had to see it. You don't watch The Office, Andy?
No, they don't watch.
Why not?
He's going to get mad at you.
Never seen it.
Just so you know, I'm trying to prepare you. He's going to be mad.
No interest.
Don't worry, Fred. I saw it and I found it funny.
See, this is what I don't understand.
That's all you need now.
Andy has no interest in The Office. Well, how do you know that?
Well, why can you say that you have
no
interest in things?
I don't say that. I say I don't have time
to defend Andy.
That's not.
That's, you know,
well, that, let me defend you.
That's an no interest. Well, how do you know you don't have interest?
I can defend Andy on this. He doesn't think Seinfeld is funny, which not only makes him a complete idiot,
right?
But The Office is in that same kind of genre. So I don't. To be honest with you, I don't think Andy would like this show. It's not really his kind of humor.
I stopped once for a sec, like a little, and I never.
He likes Naked Gun kind of humor.
Yeah,
this
like
isn't.
Stupid
yeah,
humor.
This isn't Naked Gun.
I'm watching
kind
South
of
Park and The Family Guy.
Well, that's funny too.
It's that's a different, also but funny. It's a different funny.
Family Guy's very funny.
I like both those shows, but they're not the same as The Office has that subtle kind of humor, and he doesn't really like that.
Not see, big on subtle.
You know what happens?
I don't want to have to work.
They think it's a little bit more cerebral.
Yeah, like The West Wing. I watch The West Wing.
You know, it's not in front of a live audience, and there's no laugh track or anything, so they think
that makes it cerebral.
They think we don't know when to laugh.
Right.
That's why we don't understand it. Do you understand what I'm saying there, Andy?
I don't remember saying
that's
that.
That's a little highbrow.
What Paul is saying right now is the exact definition.
Andy likes dumb humor.
You could
like,
record,
that's smart humor, The Office?
You could record what,
no,
what Paul is saying right
gun
now.
Is like that stupid kind of, you know, like, and Don't Call Me Shirley. That's the kind of
that's
humor.
That's funny, too, though.
I know.
What Paul is saying right now, you could record it, and if you want to describe to a kid what narrow-mindedness is, that would be it. Just play that.
Why
and that's
is that?
The definition of being narrow-minded.
What? See, I disagree with that.
And
I think what
best,
Andy said
that's the worst offensive player on the bill.
Hey, look, the Pats ring on TV.
That's Charlie.
Oh, that's Charlie Weiss.
There you go.
I thought it was one of those home shopping networks. I'm like, what?
Right there, for our listeners, that was like when he saw Lawyer Malloy in Atlanta.
Yeah. Hey, look, that's Lawyer. Hey, look, the Pats ring on TV.
Same little break from the norm there. Yeah,
Charlie Weiss
Andy,
is on
you,
cold
you disagree
pizza,
that you like
and
stupid
he's also
humor?
Going to be on EDI.
No, I like stupid
I got
humor.
The phrase from you.
I like stupid humor.
He's
definitely.
The one that says it.
I just would put The Office in that stupid humor category.
I don't
think
like
the guy has
funny
gun.
Help
I be Yeba.
Right, by the way, I also, when I was on ESPN yesterday, as Paul promoted, I promoted our TV show, and... the producer played the Eric Cartman, as if we can.
In fact, at least show. You get the promotion.
I got it in there, Fred.
Now you should try to do it for the newspaper.
Okay.
1-800-494-PATS.
I will slip that in, I promise, next time I'm on.
Okay.
And I'll even make him call it Patriots Football Weekly and not sunshine.com.
Between the two of you, subscriptions should be out of the roof.
Out of the roof?
Yeah.
Through the roof?
Through the roof, but, you know, I don't know what you're doing.
I don't
over
understand
there.
How...
If you get it in people's hands all the time,
I just don't understand
right.
How he read an email...
And ignored it?
...asked to say who the best and worst player on the Bills was, and then just said, did you watch The Office last night?
Because he doesn't know who's on the Bills, so he goes, I will skip to The Office.
Well, I think it's too hard to narrow it down to just one on defense, Tom, the worst player.
No, but I would say the one guy... That
but as a team, they play pretty well.
But they probably want to attack the two young safeties.
Well, that's what
guess.
I was going to say.
Coe Simpson and Dante Whitner, who are
I don't
both
care how good
now.
My corners are. I don't feel all that comfortable with two safeties.
Well, especially when you got Ben Watson.
I don't think Terrence McGee is all that good.
You know, it's interesting. I heard you say that the other day, and then I'm reading my ESPN the magazine. An old friend, Casey Joyner, chimes in with some statistical thing, and his metrics tell him that
great.
While Clement gets all the attention, McGee's
go.
Numbers are actually better with times thrown to and completions
or
something.
I will say this only as a slight defense of Casey Joyner there.
His metrics?
The game that I'm what year was it? 2004 it must have been. They absolutely destroyed Terrence McGee, the Patriots, at Buffalo. They just kept throwing on it. Remember the game that they blitzed a million times against the Patriots,
yeah,
Fred?
Yeah.
They must have blitzed something like 50 out of like 60 offensive plays.
Right.
And they just kept throwing. Tom just kept torching Terrence McGee time.
Is that the
time.
One where they used the no down lineman?
No, not that game. Oh. This was a close game,
oh,
not
okay.
that one.
At Gillette?
No, it was at Buffalo. And it was
in 04?
It was 24-17 late
it's
in the
Jets.
Game, and then Seymour got the fumble recovery to put the game
but
away.
Was McGee a rookie that year?
Oh, you know what? I wasn't at that game. I had to miss that game. I remember that.
In defense of that, I would say that McGee was a little young at the time, and I think it was one of his first starts as a corner, because I think Troy Vincent went down in that game. Actually, and Troy Vincent was still playing corner at the time.
Yeah, they had a return on that game, right? A punt or kickoff return, something like that?
I believe he returned the kick, actually, yeah. He's an excellent kickoff
returner. On offense, I would say the tight end position is just horrendous. They don't have anybody catching the ball at the tight end position. We had the guy on the podcast
remember, from Buffalo
a
while back, and he said Robert Royal they thought was misused in Washington, and they had big plans for him. Well, he's got four catches.
Well, I'll trash the – I mean, the Bills, you trash talk the Bills. You start with the owner. As Paul said, names the stadium after himself and expects the league to pay him for naming the stadium after himself. So now he's got Congressman Schumer, rallying on his behalf for small market teams.
You got a lot of problems with the Bills, don't you?
Got a lot of problems with the Bills.
Why?
Well, what happened is the
what? Do you think they're just mismanaged?
Yeah. I think, yeah.
Well, someone came to him with a proposal to name the stadium, naming rights, and he just didn't understand it. He just blew it off. I just didn't understand.
I don't know what to
tell. I got to tell you, the more we go, though, I think he was right there. He may sound like an old man, but he was right.
But
they don't have a CBA. They haven't finalized the revenue sharing that was supposed to be finalized. Tagliabue just left when he was supposed to have it all completed before he left. I think he was, I admit, he sounded like a total buffoon, but I kind of think he was right.
Well,
I don't think he was right.
It was all like, well, we'll figure that out later. We'll figure that out.
Everyone
just sign here.
Everyone knew that what they were doing was temporary. It wasn't going to stick, and they, in a couple of years, they're going to have to redo it. But they had to have it's better than not having a season.
I agree with that wholeheartedly. You know? I just think he wasn't quite the joke he was made out to be at the time.
I think that his problems aren't the things that aren't finalized right now. His problems with all the other the revenue sharing and all that nonsense.
Well, that hasn't been finalized.
Whereas the details that Florio keeps writing about every week really don't have anything at all to do with that.
Oh, I think he had issues with the revenue sharing because they haven't finalized that.
He definitely that's what his issues were with.
Among the owners, not.
But
with
I think
the CBA.
It was part of the problem. Was
I know
it
I,
wasn't.
It's all tied together. All right, on the phone right.
I agree with that.
On the phone right now, we have Phil from Austin. Phil, how you doing?
Hey, Fred.
Hey, Phil.
I think you want Buffalo to get sold and moved just because you don't want to have to go to Buffalo every year.
Well, would you want?
No,
Buffalo?
I love going to Buffalo. It's my favorite.
Oh yeah,
on the road.
honestly,
it's the worst press box. I know that much.
It's the worst press box, and getting around the stadium is the worst. But it's one of my favorite trips because of that restaurant, Billy Ogden. Shout out to Billy Ogden.
He likes the restaurant so much, he guilts us into going with him.
you should thank me. This is another thing about you guys. You're so narrow-minded. Oh my God.
I went with you.
Tom, you liked it.
It was good.
Phenomenal.
How many times do you want me to tell you how good it was? It was great.
Oh, all right. What else, Phil?
Hey, I'm real glad to see Copen get signed.
Absolutely.
And I also agree with the guys there who don't think Asante is ever going to get signed. I think his number's getting too high.
Well, that's why I think that he's going to end up being worth more than the Patriots will probably want to give him. That's why I don't think he's going to get signed.
If he signs a big deal somewhere, he'll be a disappointment.
Well, yeah.
He's going to have unfair expectations placed on him if he gets a $12 million signing bonus somewhere because he's not that good.
And it's inevitable, too. Even if he signs a deal here and stays, he's going to be a disappointment because what happens is once you start making that money, people don't remember that,
right.
Oh, they kind of picked on him a little bit in that game, and they picked on him a little bit in that game.
Right.
They only remember the interceptions.
I mean, right now, Asante Samuel is looked on as the young guy that was drafted the same year, Eugene Wilson, and they came in sort of as a pair.
Yeah, he was a fourth-round pick.
Yeah, now it's going to change once he gets that first big contract.
And I like Samuel a lot. I probably like Samuel better than these guys do.
Right.
I just think that it's inevitable that he will be a disappointment. I agree exactly with Andy just said. He'll be a disappointment. Because people will expect him to be like, Deion Sanders or Ty Law and Champ Bailey, and he's not at that level.
That said, he should get every penny he
sure.
can get.
God bless him.
Sure. Yep.
I think one of the reasons why you sign defensive linemen like the Patriots have is so you don't have to pay guys like Asante $10 million signing bonuses.
Well, that could be. I mean, the pressure up front. Takes pressure off the back, but they're not getting the pressure up front right now. I mean, that's not, they're not really designed to be that kind of team, so it's, I don't know. We'll have to see with him. What about Graham, guys? What do you think they'll do with
him? His agent said he's comfortable letting it wait till after the season, a.k.a.
goodbye.
I want to hit the open market. Peace out.
That's what I think.
Yeah.
He's basically said it a number of times without really saying it.
I think he's just one of those quiet, classy guys. Doesn't really say a whole lot. Just goes about his business. But, from the Patriots' perspective, he's hurt a lot. I think he has some bad shoulder problems.
Yeah.
The production, for a big-time tight end is probably not there.
Yeah.
But from his perspective, Paul, do you think that he's saying, you know what, these shoulder problems aren't going to get any better if they keep using me as a tackle?
Yeah.
Maybe I can go somewhere and actually be a receiving tight end.
Yeah,
and
I think that he would love to get to Denver. I really do. That's where he's from. And
yeah, that seems to be the logical.
I think he'd fit well in that offense, and they're kind of looking for a tight end, right?
Mm-hmm. All right, Phil. Is that it?
Got a question. Did any of you guys read the article in this morning's Herald by Felger about Dean Pease, kind of a puff piece there?
Yeah. That the Patriots are actually better off with him than Mangini?
I read it, yeah.
Well, I was wondering if that isn't some kind of implicit criticism of the offensive coordinator. Because you read all these guys saying, well, this guy's been around for 10 or 20 years. He has my respect. I respected Eric last year, but I really like the experience this guy has. I'm wondering if those guys are looking across at the offensive players and saying, he's got a guy who's 30 years old and doesn't command nearly the kind of respect that the defensive coordinator evidently has in the locker room. I'm just wondering what you guys think about that.
I think you're reading too much into that. I think those are only comments, almost veiled, not shots, but just commentary on Eric Mangini from last year as the young guy, as the first-year defensive coordinator. I don't think he demanded the same amount of respect as Dean Pease did. I don't think the players felt as comfortable under his leadership as they do under Dean Pease. So I think that's the comparison, the young first-year coordinator last year on defense versus the aged veteran here, experienced guy, former head coach that you have now. I don't think it has anything to do with offense.
Okay.
All right. Phil, thank you for calling.
All right, have a good weekend, guys.
Okay, you too.
What's up, Phil?
All right, webradio@patriots.com is the email address, webradio@patriots.com, 508-543-7482. James from Dyer, Indiana. He's the iPod guy.
Here he comes.
Tom gave me three great picks yesterday, Ohio State, Giants, and Carolina in a teaser, in Seattle to cover. Going to bet them all. Just a clarification, though, which game does Tom want to be the iPod game?
This is a tough one.
Well, look at me.
Did you mean any of them to be the iPod? Do you still want to do that?
The
wants an iPod.
You can call it off.
What do you think, Paul? Seattle or Ohio State?
Ohio State. The Ohio State University.
I think Ohio State's going to roll.
That was your first instinct.
What's the spread?
Let's go with that. Well, it was 14 today.
It's like it's dropped. It's like 14 now. I think Michigan State's all done. I think they quit on their coach. They showed no passion last week against Michigan, and that's as big a game as you can get for them. I think Ohio State puts it on them. Because the other thing you got to remember about Ohio State, this is their last test before Michigan. So if they win this game, they're one game away from playing for the national championship. So I don't think they're going to take Michigan State lightly. So expect a whooping. We'll make it that. Ohio State.
Hey, does BC get back into the top 25 after last night's win?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah?
Yep.
Against a team that should have never been there in the first place, and I knew that when I saw them play Northeastern. And I didn't, well, I'm just saying, I couldn't tell which team was the big favorite.
Yeah, I said it at the time. I talked to one of the coaches for Northeastern shortly after that game. They opened Virginia Tech, for those who don't even know who Northeastern is, opened the season with a 1AA team.
There's a lot of good 1AA players.
Virginia Tech opened the season with Northeastern, and it was a 38-0 game, but statistically it was much closer than that. And Northeastern is not a very good 1AA program right now. They're 2-4, and they kind of stood toe to toe and battled Virginia Tech for four quarters. I talked to a couple of coaches from Northeastern afterwards, and they all said to me, "Yeah, we're encouraged with what we did, but Virginia Tech is not a very good team this year. Mm. They're going to end up with four or five losses. They're not nearly at the level that they have been in the past." So,
interesting. See that passion that comes out when you turn the topic to Northeastern? It's like, boom, all of a sudden he's like, yeah, let's talk.
Gary writes in,
he says...
Sorry, I don't
get a chance to talk about that on ESPN Radio Boston.
A few questions. Whatever happened to Donnie Edwards getting traded? Why did San Diego want to trade him in the first place? Was it money, personality, conflicts, or maybe just getting too old? And how did this work itself out for him to now be a starter on the team? I don't know.
I just, nothing happened, and now he's starting.
Marty talked to him, and they ironed it out.
Well, for one, I think it's one of the reasons why we get frustrated when everybody says, why don't they sign Donnie Edwards? Why don't they sign David Patton? And these guys are on other teams. They just assume that it's going to happen, and they're going to get let go. It could happen. These guys might, some of them did. Dante Stallworth was one of those guys. He ended up, he did get traded.
Well, and we had a,
Ashley Lillie, he did get
traded. We had an SPFW this week that said, you know, why don't we get Terry Glenn back? And I replied, well, how?
Why
he's on the Cowboys. They love him.
Why would Dallas want to get rid of
him?
Yeah. I mean, it's probably the one aspect of their passing game that's consistent.
Well, who was
right
it? Was
now,
it you
Terry
that
Glenn?
Called, who was it that called, Urlacher's agent and said, hey, there's a rumor going around that Urlacher might get traded to the Patriots? And Urlacher's agent says, you know what? It really pisses me off. All you guys from New England think that whoever you want, you can just go out and get them.
Who's, I don't,
who
it wasn't
called
me.
Urlacher's agent?
It wasn't us.
It wasn't?
Agents don't talk to us.
I think you just made it up.
No, I didn't. I forget who it was.
Yeah, it definitely wasn't us because agents generally don't talk to us.
Let's see. Another question he has is, I know you guys specialize in pro football, but Buddy and I were talking about the Big East and the teams that are left. First was Boston College. We think it is going to be hard to get recruits in because all your away games are hundreds of miles away, which isn't very appealing, especially if you have family and friends who want to watch. Second is that do you think Virginia Tech and Miami regret going to the ACC? I think they might because in the Big East, they were a big fish in a small pond, and in the ACC, they seem like they are just one of many good teams.
BC's in the ACC too. And Miami and Florida State's problems have nothing to do with changing conferences. It has something to do with not being able to score any points on offense.
Let me say this. The ACC right now, this particular season, is one of the worst major conferences.
Yeah.
It's the worst that the ACC probably has been, period. Florida State has been in the ACC for a long time, and they've absolutely owned the conference.
They've always been in
the entire time they were in it until, like, last year. And Tom is absolutely right. Miami and Florida State, their problems have nothing to do with the conference that they're in. They're just down right now. They're not as good as they have been in the past. Miami would not be leading the Big East as bad as the Big East is right now. They would not be leading that conference. They were thoroughly dominated by Louisville.
Yeah, and Louisville and West Virginia haven't really played anybody. And watch out, sneaking around the chicken coop, the University of Cincinnati getting 30 at home against Louisville this week. Possible big-time upset. You heard it here first.
Okay. I love it.
Mike Wright will be on the sideline.
You talk about the passion that comes out. like the passion when Tom Casale is talking about not only
gambling,
not only colleges.
Who do you guys?
The guy bet $150,000 in a one-year span or whatever it was.
5 months.
5 months.
Who do you guys like in the Syracuse versus West Virginia game? Just kidding. I know they're bad. We're bad. I'll stick to my favorite pro team, the Pats.
Get rid of those freaking uniforms you got over there.
They are bad.
Syracuse, what are you thinking? It's not 1922.
They're horrible.
Uniforms
were fine.
It was
actually a big thing that Nike did, and then once the athletic department changed hands, they started changing stuff.
So it's going back, are you saying?
Potentially.
Okay, because their uniforms were fine with the orange helmets and the orange pants. I don't know what they were thinking. Now, listen, they got to get Nike out of there because they're the ones responsible for the Oregon uniforms, the Syracuse uniforms. They don't know what the hell they're doing because those uniforms, all Nike uniforms are disgusting.
Well, they started when they did the Broncos uniform over, which was okay, but now they've just gone over. They've jumped the shark.
That wasn't Nike, was it?
Nike did the originally.
Oh, really?
They were the ones that did.
They definitely have bad. Yeah, they had the one arm last year with the four
one
or five
arm,
teams
Virginia,
and one color.
Look at, and, you know, Nike originally did the new Broncos uniform, and when you look at it, when guys are in a three-point stance, it's a swoosh on the side of their pants. It makes one big swoosh. That's why they did it that way. Yes, that's how they designed it.
They try to get too tricky.
It certainly does. I mean,
make a uniform like Penn State.
Let's see.
I hate those uniforms.
Pete from Jackson, Mississippi wants to know if the Patriots would be interested in Troy Vincent or if they do anything before the trade deadline next Tuesday.
I say they don't make a trade.
I would say Friday.
Went out on a limb there.
Yeah.
I think that Patrick
Bills at baseball games.
I think Patrick Pass starts practicing, and if he's okay during the course of the week, they activate him before the game against Buffalo.
Okay.
That's just a guess.
Josh from Arlington, Virginia. Before I looked too much like an idiot in my earlier email when saying Troy Vincent had his best year for his career last year, I was referring to a quote in SI.com saying, a four-time Pro Bowl selection, Vincent is coming off a strong season in which he posted a career-high 102 tackles and led the Bills with four interceptions and 16 starts.
He entered this season with 47 interceptions, most among active players. He had three more picks than that a few years ago, but he seems to have plenty left in the tank.
Now, see, I knew that's what was happening. You're looking at his tackle numbers.
And he played safety last year, yeah. And he's been a corner his whole career.
He
so
was
obviously
safety
gonna,
on a defense
if you're
that couldn't
comparing,
stop the run.
If you're comparing him last year to his years in Philadelphia and telling me that's his best year, then someone at SI.com should be fired because that's an embarrassing
statement.
He
didn't, he said strong season.
He just said he had a strong year. They didn't say it was his best year.
Well, that's just because everybody was running on
the Bills. That's the thing.
That's the thing. I mean, he had to come up and make all those tackles.
You don't want your safety having the most tackles. Really. You don't. let's see. David says, Mel Mitchell was the other safety that ended up on IR. But that wasn't the guy I was thinking about because he's more of a special teams guy. You gentlemen might have already touched up on this, but what's your take on the Jabbar Gaffney signing?
I'll give you mine. When I got the press release, I said, "Oh," and then deleted it.
you know,
I mean, that's my reaction. I don't know what you. I don't. He's not going to come in here and catch 100.
He's another in a line.
Could he be as good or better than Rashay Caldwell?
Yes.
What's that mean?
That means he could be better than Rashay Caldwell.
That means he catches a game.
It's an upgrade.
Yes. I don't know.
Yes.
The answer to your question from all three of us is yes.
In a technical term, yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Well,
so I like the signing.
But does that help
your
team?
Can he be a number one or number two target? No.
Does it help your team?
It could. If he's better than Rashay Caldwell.
I don't think he can.
All right.
Now, I don't think it was a bad signing. Don't try to put words in my mouth.
Hank Basket's on another team.
I think
he's probably the reason that Jabbar Gaffney's available.
Yeah, that's true.
That's true.
See, it all ties into Hank Basket.
Vince from Pennsylvania, since Friday is usually a slow email day, I was wondering...
Jeez. Apparently you guys usually suck on Fridays.
I think yesterday I might have told people that, hey, it's going to be Friday, it's going to be slow, get your emails in early or something like that, I don't know. I was wondering if you could offer a quick explanation, and this will go to Paul, how the spread works. To me or anyone who listens that doesn't know, have a good bye week. And actually, Tom...
I was going to say, why would it go to me?
Well, you used to be our resident betting expert.
Yeah,
but I pale in comparison to the guru.
But we commented on this. It all goes by... If you, ESPN did something years ago when the Raiders and Bucks made the Super Bowl, and they showed inside a casino them watching the championship games and getting ready for the Super Bowl line that needed to come out as soon as the second game was over. And these guys looked like stockbrokers. Yep. They were running around, erasing things. Okay, Tennessee just scored. It's tied. So now go Tennessee, blah, blah, blah. And they were all over the place. So that's how the opening line, they do that. They come up with some kind of number. I don't know how they do it, but they're masters at it. And then it goes by money. Now, what happened was in Las Vegas, every game, every casino, the year that Tennessee played the Rams in the Super Bowl started at 7, except for one. It started at 7.5. So everyone pushed on that game, except for the people who got Tennessee at 7.5 at the one casino, and all the odds makers were fired. Because that's how much money that they cost the casino. So it's a very intense kind of job. But money drives it.
Right. Once it's set,
the betting trend drives it.
And it's not, we always like to say it's the mob. It's the professional gamblers. There's people who live in Las Vegas and don't work.
Yep.
They're professional gamblers. They're the ones that move the line. Now, yeah, the mob might fix an Ohio, Western Michigan basketball game because they got to a kid, but that happens once in a blue moon.
Well, or at Boston College once every 5 years.
right.
Depending on the sport.
Steve from Ontario is writing in. He says, I want to say I love the show. You guys are entertaining and have a lot of good information packed into every episode. I wanted to talk about a topic that had
packed
some airtime on
our episode.
That had some airtime on Thursday. Fred's solo show the other day. I'd like to say I found the show pretty entertaining considering it was solo. I remember you guys saying you thought putting 5 solo minutes together for the training camp episode was tough, so everyone should cut Fred some slack.
Whoa,
thank you.
That's very different.
Yes.
And I
very different.
I never said anything about your show.
Thank you,
show,
Tom.
Fred.
He did
it
a 30-minute radio show solo, and it wasn't as bad as everyone was saying. I mean, sure, it wasn't that great, but it wouldn't have been
good no matter who was doing the show for 30 minutes by themselves. People were trashing him for a 9-minute rant on T.O., but those things can happen when you get on a roll and there is no one there to break up your thoughts. If you think 9 minutes was bad, consider some of the other PFW guys getting the mic for 30 minutes without interruption. And what would happen there? I'm pointing to Paul right now. You know who I'm talking about. I do, Stephen. Thank you.
Yeah, tell Nikki you'll bring home the bread and milk.
You know what? I got to listen. I got to go back and listen to that show. That's what
I need to do.
I can't comment on how good it was or what the quality of the program was.
Yeah, we never heard it.
But I did.
We'll leave that to the emails.
I've done 2 hours by myself.
At Super Bowl 36.
I have.
At Super Bowl 36, I did two hours by myself. There was another person with me, but I did 2 hours by myself.
That's because Shane was
And Brian were going to get autographs from Bono and the like.
John Rook does 2 hours by himself every week.
And
every
the
day.
Thank
but he gets
you.
All kinds of guests from Gary.
And B-Lo just fills a whole hour nonstop.
And then he gets B-Lo in, and then John Rook goes to take a, you know,
we don't get lunch. Yeah,
I'm not saying the defense is dominant, but
What do you think, Brian? Well, what do I think or what do I know? Because I do think a lot of things, but I know some things, but I, you know. TG and NJ, happy Friday the 13th. Next Tuesday is the trade deadline. Do you guys see anything happening?
No. Although there could be, I guess Chris Brown might get traded.
That's what, actually on Chris ESPN Morton's Radio exactly. Boston and when Andy Hart, the Andy Hart show.
I don't know.
They just said, you know,
he expects
he's a waste
that he's
of a human
moved.
Being.
Were there some minor waste. Moves that could be made, and he said that Chris Brown probably would get dealt.
Patriots
would
be interested.
I'm just saying in general.
Was always hurt every season in college, always hurt. And you know why? It's not the torn ACL kind of hurt. It's the turf toe hurt. It's the ankle hurt. It's
the only thing I'll
hurt.
Say about him, Tom, a lot of concussions, though. He does have a lot of those other injuries that you're talking about, but a lot of concussions.
But the thing is that I'm not even calling him, you know, like a baby. I'm just saying, for some reason, he's always got the lingering injuries, not the he's out for the season kind of injuries.
Yes.
I don't know what it is.
Yeah. There's some guys that just never get out of that. Doug from Blackstone, have you had a chance to see Jabbar Gaffney yet in practice or only get to see him stretching? If you have, does he seem to be a good fit?
He's a good stretcher.
All right.
No, we haven't seen practice.
Wanted to say kudos to Tom for standing up for himself this week, but I would expect nothing less.
You just stand
Thank
up
you.
For yourself.
I've never you seen Tom have a problem standing up for himself.
About the when they said that we were trying to hurt end Chad Jackson's life for some reason because we had some kind of ulterior motive because we all benefit if Chad Jackson is hurt in some way.
Hey, the Celtics just traded for Luke Jackson. Traded Dwayne Jones.
There's a surprise.
Luke Jackson.
I don't know who either of them is. I'll
give you a guess. What color do you think Luke Jackson is?
I don't think you are correct on that.
He's not?
You're thinking of Luke
thinking
Walton.
You're thinking of Luke Ridenour.
Oh.
Who is the guard, his guard made at Oregon.
Well, what about Luke Walton?
That's what I was thinking.
Who's the other one? Who are the two guys?
Two guys at Oregon? I think it was Luke Jackson and Luke Ridenour. And this is Luke Jackson, and I'm pretty sure that he is not white.
Geez, I thought he was. You might be right. I just thought they had two white guys at Oregon named Luke. That's why I thought that.
I could be wrong. I could be thinking of a different guy.
So one of you emailers look that up for us. Luke Jackson. Let us know what color he is.
I just want to know. All right. Shannon says...
You're a train wreck. You really are.
Just to join Tom here, though, but aren't most Jacksons black? Just a generalization.
Well, now, see Andy has to
know. No, I'm being serious.
No, just so you know, Tom, that was far more offensive than what you
Why
just said.
Why is that offensive?
Andy in the office is always telling me how careful they have to be with me and everything. But, see, I stop at a point. He's the one that takes it the extra yard. He's the one.
I don't mean
watch.
That to be offensive.
He's the guy that's coach here named Jackson. One of our presents, Andrew Jackson.
I know Andrew Jackson. That's the only one I could think of.
Andy's Mark the one Jackson. That's going to wind up
Jackson,
in a Chinese prison.
Well, he wasn't an assistant coach. But
yeah, he thought he was. But
Right.
Andy's the one that's going to end up in a Chinese prison, not me.
Oh, absolutely.
First of all, we're not going there because World War III is breaking out over there.
Thank God.
And Tom's rooting for it.
Yeah, that's a little scary, too.
I'm all for it.
Shannon says,
if we're not
he doesn't
want
to go to play game in China.
So you're willing to risk the world.
Just so you know, World War III would certainly imply that we're involved in it if it's a world war.
Not on the mainland.
Can't get us.
Give them Hawaii.
They can't get us. Let me tell you something. Living in Foxborough. I'm okay.
You're untouchable.
nobody cares about us here.
A world war, when it starts being nuclear.
Actually, worst place to live is, Kansas, because that's where all the silos are.
Yeah.
Speaking of that, have you watched any of That Jericho
show? No, don't have time.
Okay. No interest?
No, I didn't say that.
You would have if you didn't go through
I'm not that narrow-minded to say that if I saw it, I wouldn't like it. I might like it, I just don't have time.
No, you don't see stuff and just, like,
don't like it.
Not want to watch
it?
I
can't watch it.
Well, yeah.
So why
isn't
that
like kids'
thing?
Shows and things
oh,
like
oh, just
that.
In general, I see stuff and I just don't want to watch it.
Chick flicks. I have no interest in chick flicks.
Right.
But I'm not even generalizing in categories. Sometimes I just see a preview for a movie or show and go,
because you're narrow-minded.
Why is that narrow-minded? Aren't you allowed to have likes and dislikes?
You can't watch a trailer for a movie and determine that it's a chick flick and say I have no interest in that?
If I determine it's a chick flick, then yes.
So why is that not narrow-minded?
Because chick flicks. You don't even know what The Office is about, and you don't even want to watch
it. I've watched The Office several times.
Oh, you don't. Andy doesn't.
I just don't think it's as funny as you and Tom do.
It's not the only show that I've seen or heard about and said, yeah, I don't really have any interest.
It's a
why?
Specific
you know why?
Humor that
no, I don't know why, because somehow God made me chemically made up in my brain, and I don't have any interest.
I know why I don't like chick flicks. You don't know why you don't like The Office, because you don't even know what it's about.
But I'm telling you, Andy, you wouldn't like The Office.
Yeah,
I don't think it's that funny.
I have an instinct. Tom backs up my instinct, and you're telling us that we're both wrong.
You just stink. Okay.
What's the format where they break the fourth wall there and they talk to the camera? What is that called?
Oh, I don't know. There probably is a name for that.
There is. It's a specific name.
Yeah.
I don't really enjoy that.
This is a lot like, you ever see Spinal Tap?
No.
The movie?
No.
Hysterical movie. You ever see it?
I haven't seen it. I've heard of it.
I got to go.
I've
heard
of it.
You guys have seen Spinal Tap?
No, I've heard of it.
I haven't seen it.
Oh, for
what is it?
It's actually an Andy kind of movie because it's a spoof.
Yeah, it's called like a, it's not a parody. There's a name for it.
Is that the one where they break into the radio station?
No.
No.
Oh, for crying out loud. Yeah, I'm not even talking.
Isn't it kind of a satire?
It is a satire. It's a satire, but it's kind of like
you're
it's a real life. A mockumentary
Sam,
is what they call it.
Mockumentary is what they call it.
That's what this is, too.
They have to make
mockumentary.
Up the words.
And how does this tie in?
That's what the Office football. Is like. It's like a mockumentary. It's like done as a documentary, but obviously it's not real. Anyway.
Now he's really getting mad.
Shannon
That's
says,
the best part of the show, by the way.
What's that?
I think this is the best part of the show.
What, when I get frustrated?
No, when we're talking about stupid stuff.
Let's see. Shannon says, hello, voices in my computer. Today is Friday the 13th, and I coincidentally cannot watch my beloved Pats because of the bye week. Creepy, I say. Creepy. I'm not a BC fan. I'm an Iowa fan. Tippett, Marv Cook. But I did notice
Marv Cook.
Good, Jason.
Tippett will not be happy to have those two aligned.
But I did notice they knocked off Virginia Tech last night. Congrats, BC fans. And right after I saw those highlights in SportsCenter this morning, I saw the BC alum Dan Copen signing on the scroll at the bottom of the screen. I guess today isn't too creepy for the Eagle community. He signed a 5 years, $20 million, $7.5 million signer bonus. How does this rank among centers in the NFL today? And wasn't Copen a sixth rounder? What a great success story. Copen's always been solid, and I'm glad the Pats locked him up. Who else might the Pats sign to an extension this season? How does he rank?
He was a fifth rounder.
He's a fifth rounder. How does he rank the other centers?
You guys know, because I know it's not nearly as much as LeCharles Bentley signed for.
$36 million over six, I believe.
So that's
considerably
more.
And a bigger signing bonus.
According to the Andy Hart Show yesterday on ESPN Boston Radio, it was 6 years.
How
long are
we going to go with this?
Or ESPN 2 hours earlier.
Just so you know, I have a long way to go to catch up, and I will be doing so.
But I should mention, Fred, that this Friday the 13th adds a whole new element to my sitting at home in my sweatpants all weekend, because now it starts Friday night with the Friday the 13th movies. I'll be up till 3 o'clock
you
in the
like
morning
those?
Watching those.
You're
oh, yeah.
To those slasher movies?
Yep. Oh, yeah.
See, now Tom doesn't yell at me because I don't particularly like the slasher movies.
I don't either, but did you see the Saw?
Yeah.
You like that?
Saw 3 coming out.
It was all right.
Is it the Saw?
Just all right. I thought
Saw.
It was like
Saw.
The best horror movie
That's
ever
what I
made.
Thought.
I'm an old school guy, Fred. I'm Nightmare on Elm Street, Halloween, Friday the 13th.
But Saw was pretty good, right?
It was okay.
Did you see Saw 2?
No.
So you're going to see Saw 3?
I'm a scared of those
I think
movies,
they should have stopped at Saw 1.
They weren't. I think they're okay. I thought both of them were okay. First
but you're never going to get any better than being in a campsite in the woods with a guy walking around with a hockey mask and a hatchet. I mean, that's what it's all about.
The absolute best music that you could ever compose
right.
for a horror
and
movie.
And I agree. I always said.
I hear that music and I immediately get
I always
scared.
Said that it was.
Never heard that one before.
It was the image of the hockey mask and the music. That's what made those movies.
Okay.
It certainly wasn't the acting.
Fred, I'm scared of those.
Although Kevin Bacon is in one of them.
Is that right?
Yes.
Kevin Bacon is in a Friday the 13th?
I think it's the first one.
Is there any movie that he's not in?
That's why they have the game, right?
Right.
Let's see. He also says Lawrence Phillips was convicted a few days ago for running over a 14, a 16, and a 19-year-old after a pickup football game. I think they're putting him away for something like 7 years. That got me thinking. Colette Phillips, put them both in the same prison, and what a powerful backfield that prison team has.
Which can play the guards.
Which leads to my question. What would be the all-time football prison team consist of? The backfield is set. Now, who fills out the rest of the squad?
Well, Ray Carruth at wideout.
Ray Carruth would be... First, I should say it's comical that he was playing a pickup football game with teenagers.
Yeah. One of which was 14.
I think you'd have to put O.J. Simpson in that backfield, too.
Yeah, O.J. would have to be the lead back.
I'd have to run the option.
Well, he's innocent. He wasn't convicted.
You had the who was the quarterback that went for gambling?
Oh, Art Schleister.
Art Schleister.
Yep. Schleister.
Tom's idol.
Oh, that's a good question, though. It's a good one.
We'd have to try to go through and think of all the people.
All the Cowboys offensive linemen.
I was going to say you could start with the '90s Cowboys.
Did Paul Hornung ever go to jail, or was he just banned from the whole thing?
No, he
was banned for a year. Him and Alex Karras.
Right, but they never served any time.
I don't think so.
No.
George Papadopoulos.
Yeah.
Your guy.
You know who Paul Hornung is, Andy?
Yeah.
You do?
Yeah.
Really? Wow. I'm impressed. Dan in Fairfax, don't worry.
I won't expose the fact that, like, it maybe 2 weeks ago at the most, he asked me, Paul Hornung got suspended for a whole year for that gambling thing?
Hey, I just learned from another one of our writers that the old Ford's guy's name was Edsel?
No.
Edsel, no.
No.
No, his wife. He named it after his wife, I thought, or something like that.
Oh.
That was the name.
No. It might have been a joke, but he said Edsel Ford.
Yes. It was,
well, maybe it
the
was
guy
it.
who
Henry Ford didn't have a son, Edsel?
It wasn't his name, I don't believe. I'm not positive on that, but I don't think it was his name.
Power of the email listeners, tell us if there
sure
was ever an Edsel Ford.
But that was a joke, I think.
And what color Luke Jackson is. Now that I was thinking of it, I'm almost positive he's white.
You know, or race. You know.
Who's in there? What's that guy's name?
Jason.
Hey, Jason, search Luke Jackson on the internet and let us know what color he is.
Let's see. Dan in Fairfax, don't worry, Fred. I still like you. PFW in Progress wouldn't be PFW in Progress without Fred.
I
love Fred.
We all wouldn't exist without Fred, so I agree with that sentiment.
Especially come review time. I'm a big Fred fan.
Yes.
He's white.
Luke Jackson is white.
There you go.
That's not the guy. All
with another definitive statement that's wrong.
I just got finished saying how much I like Fred.
You're just sucking up.
I have a long way to go to catch up to you.
So there you go. Now you know why the Celtics traded for him, which was my point in the first place.
But who do they trade? Jones?
Dwayne Jones.
Who's that?
Some guy they probably got in a trade last year.
Guess they were going to cut? Because don't they have to cut like
guess
four
what
guys
color he was?
Well, they just cut a white guy. Too. Well, they didn't do it yet, but they're going to Pitsnoggle.
What?
Oh, the guy with all the tattoos?
Pitsnoggle?
From West Virginia?
Him. You know, 30% body fat. I don't have 30%
that's
body fat.
I don't know about that.
Well,
Dave is in Buford, Georgia.
As out of shape as I am, I was below 10 in college.
We'll have to
I
get
can't
out
imagine
the, what do they call the Andy, the
calipers?
We'll have to get out the calipers.
Just so you know, you will not be getting out any calipers anywhere near me.
Why not?
I got 300 that says Paul has over 30%.
Well, you'll never know.
I say we break it trying to get it open wide enough.
I think we should do it. We should have a number, an over-under.
You know he doesn't do any of these.
Put the calipers
he wouldn't do
on
the
ball.
Thing when we wanted to put 145 on the bar and see how many times he
but
could
do. But you know
it.
What I will do, Andy? I will stand on a pitcher's mound 60 feet, 6 inches away from you, and you will
and
never,
I've said
ever
anytime.
Hit the ball solidly.
I've said
not
any
once.
Time. I've said any time.
That's
oh,
what
oh I like this.
Anytime.
I'm up for the challenge.
So if you want to do that,
don't wuss out like
can
you.
It just be the distance?
That doesn't even matter, Fred. It doesn't even
because you know it's a,
it doesn't.
It makes a difference if you're pitching from a mound.
But I'd rather it be a mound because that's the excuse you'll use if I do hit it.
I will. I will not use an excuse. I will tip my cap if you get a hit.
I if will tip I get cap. A hit, can we measure your body fat?
Mm-mm. No.
If I get a hit, you have to try to do 145. I mean 135.
I don't want to do that.
Oh, jeez. That's easy.
So I got to put something on the line against the big, bad Division I pitcher.
I'm sure I could, Fred.
He's not
willing
to put
it on the
line. But
I don't really want to do it.
All right.
It's no
why?
Fun.
Narrow-minded.
You're fun?
Since when are you the life of the party? Now Paul's back into a corner. He's lashing out at everyone.
I'll take on a bet.
I've lost them all, but I'll take them on.
I have made more ridiculous bets that had absolutely no chance just for the sake of the bet. Fred actually does, too. I'll give you the credit for that, too. Huh? You bet me that one about the Red Sox. You had no chance of winning.
Which one?
That's true.
All right. Dave in Buford, Georgia. What is it that the Pats see in Hank Poteet that they keep bringing him in to fill in when he's needed, but he's not good enough to keep on the team all the time? I heard that the Jets have signed Hank. Now I guess he won't be our on-again, off-again player.
Well, he still could be because he's been a Jet before. So
he's, you know,
he's good enough to help them. It's worked when they've needed him, but he's not good enough to stay.
He's a perfect example of you know what he knows.
Yeah, he knows the system.
He's the devil you
know. Come in for a game.
Yeah.
Right.
You know.
He's not going to blow the coverage. He's just going to be maybe a step behind the guy.
Right. So that's it. So now he's on the Jets. And now the Jets, is he? So he's on the 53-man roster, but we don't know if they're actually going to use him in a game.
I think well, he's good. I mean, they cut Derek Strait, right, who plays quite a bit for him, but hasn't played well. So my guess is he's going to be like their third corner.
Okay.
I
Derek think he's Strait was quite a bust, huh?
Yeah. Yeah. I liked him coming out of college.
Yep.
Brad in St. John, New Brunswick, have a few questions. One, when did you start publishing PFW? 1995 is the answer to that. When did you start doing the web radio show? Now, that's a good question.
That was 2001.
It was before that.
I think it was 2001.
Here's a little known fact.
Yeah, a little known fact.
The New England Revolution actually had an internet radio show before the Patriots.
Really?
Yeah, we had that down at Defec.
It's little known because no one's listening.
I didn't know that the New England Revolution existed.
I think that was back in 1990.
It might have been 2000 that we started the show. It was at Walpole. But we started it.
Yeah. But before that, the Reds had a show. So, I think what we used to do, though, is I know we started doing streaming in 1997, but we didn't have a fixed radio show until like 2000. But I think we had some special things that we did prior to that. But I think this schedule started, you know, probably 2001, maybe. Or 2000.
Yeah, it might have been 2000. I thought it was 01, though.
And three, are you aware of any other team that has a similar radio show? Actually, several have them now. The Eagles are very big.
We were the first, though. Is that correct?
We are the first.
Dallas. I didn't think that they were all daily.
They may not be daily. I think Dallas might be.
Dallas has one where Stephen Jones is actually on the show. And, I mean, they have some pretty big guns. And, you know, Jerry's on there sometimes.
Yeah, yeah.
So, I mean, you know Jerry Jones. He doesn't.
Right.
He wants to get himself out there as much as possible.
Bill Polian has a show, I think.
Does he really?
I think he does.
Who the hell's listening to that?
Oh.
A real show or just like they try to promote it as a show?
Oh, that's
like, for like 10 minutes.
That's where I can see him actually being there for an hour all by himself just talking.
I remember at the NFL meetings, most teams thought I was nuts when I said we had a daily radio show for 4 hours of programming.
Yeah, I'm not surprised by that.
Well, see the thing is, the advantage that we have is that we have the newspaper. If we didn't have the newspaper, right, we wouldn't have daily shows because we wouldn't have the manpower to staff it.
Mm.
But because we have you guys for the newspaper, we can do these types of things. But most teams don't have their own newspaper. That's the key. That's really
true, like most teams don't have. I thought everybody had one.
No, they
don't.
Do not.
They used to, back in the day, a lot of them had them, but they all went by the wayside.
And even then, they weren't produced by the team. They were done by some other company that the team said, okay, you can use our name, but they weren't done by the team.
So, Fred, when you get like the Browns, I don't think they have their own paper.
They used to, but not anymore.
Right. So,
in fact, when the guy folded the tent, Belichick actually mentioned, hey, just want to shout out to so-and-so over in Cleveland. I remember him mentioning his name one day.
Can you imagine if we have to fold our tent?
You think he'd do the same?
You think he'd do the same?
Oh, no.
He'll be burning the tent down with us inside.
You know how he was last Tuesday?
Yeah, you know how we were driving Brandon Gorin to the airport? Yeah. He'd be driving us.
You know how he came in with that big smile on his face the other day with the St. Louis Cardinals shirt on, the Tony LaRusse? That's how he would come in that day. Oh, just got word. PFW is out of business. Oh,
yeah.
Tough break.
Whose Friday, he wouldn't need to have a press conference because no one would be there.
Whose name did he say?
It was the guy that used to run
the
Browns paper, the publisher.
Not the guy that
PFW
left the paper to take it over.
No.
No, that was a different. That was Browns.com.
Oh, because he's right. Out of work.
That's Pat McManahan.
Hey, Fred,
he tried
Rams
to go back to the paper, then
paper.
Got laid off.
Yeah.
The Rams, it's funny. The Rams started their paper after we did ours.
It's like asking Bill about the fullback.
I'm going to go with the layup here. Do the Cardinals have their own newspaper?
No. The Rams actually asked us who we had printing us, and they ended up using the same printer. But then they stopped doing the paper.
Okay, so they don't have the paper. So who writes for the Rams.com? Like, who writes for their website if they don't have a paper? That was my question I was trying to
answer
10 minutes ago.
I don't know. You know, most of these teams, it comes out of their marketing or PR department. Like, if we never had a paper, Stacey James's department would be in charge of the website.
Go ahead, Andy.
They'd actually have to do something.
When they first launched Patriots.com back in 94.
Yeah.
That's how they did it. Anthony Moretti used to write a lot of the content for the website. He was in charge of that.
And then
so they would sign a guy, and 4 days later,
they asked me to take over, and I said to Anthony, I said, look, you got a choice. You can either go out and hold a clipboard at practice, or you can do this website. He chose practice. So I rehired an intern that I had fired, Mark Stella.
Stella!
Came in and helped me do the website. This is back in 95. So...
Show's taking a turn for the worse.
No, it's just a little history.
The history of team papers and their website.
Well, you know, one of the first emails we got in the show, though, about how different it was back when the Patriots went to the Super Bowl in 96, it really is kind of amazing to see the differences.
Right.
10 years later, we have not only a website that's pretty much self-contained by, you know, people outside of the PR department, but... You know, the internet radio
right.
And all the TV
and a lot
stuff,
of that's just the wave of the internet.
The video
the whole explosion.
The video shows, the on-demand stuff that we that
I mean,
we,
it's like all of a sudden MySpace and Facebook is like this thing I've never even heard of when I went to college, and now it's like all you do.
Well, there's all these platforms now for user-generated content.
Well,
right, like YouTube got bought by Google, I saw the other day.
$1.6 billion.
Why can't I come up with an idea?
You got to have some intelligence.
Kind of like Secret Project X?
Yeah. Ben from Boxborough, you guys mentioned Calvin Johnson as a possibility in next year's draft. I think he's a tremendous talent at the wide receiver position, a top five projection, and I think his stock will only continue to rise every week. Therefore, I think that even with two first-round picks, it will not be enough value to trade up this high, considering that both the Pats and Seahawks are going to have good records at the end of the season. But this being the case... Do you think that there are any other receivers in the upcoming draft with first-class talent that the Patriots might be interested in taking? Also, when is your Neckin show on? I have looked on the website and the TV guide on my TV, and I haven't seen it there. It is on Tuesday nights at 11 o'clock, and it's also repeated at 11:30 on Tuesday nights.
Tell a friend.
So if you're out drinking late on Tuesday and you don't get home till 11:30, you can catch the replay.
Or TV. The schedule's on
like
the website.
Like our intern.
The PFN schedule.
The PFN schedule, says Jason Dvorkin. You can see the schedule for
What's the Patriots PFN schedule?
Patriots Football Network.
Oh, there you go.
That's what we're kind of calling all these things that you were mentioning, all these different, you know, it all comes under the Patriots Football Network
umbrella.
Yes.
Which all comes under Fred Kirsch's reign.
No,
Director of Interactive Media.
Very little of it does, actually.
It all comes under you.
No, it doesn't.
Fred, you're kind of a big deal.
No. Doug from Blackstone. Fred was wondering if Felger was coming in today. That's 4-on-1. They're going to have to life flight you out of there today.
He's not coming in today.
Give
that's
him help, Freddie, and good luck.
Yep, that's the only reason Paul and I are here, to help you out.
Well, no Felger today. Where is Felger? Where's Felger?
It's funny though when they said 4-on-1, it wasn't going to be 4-on-1 against Felger. It was going to be against Fred.
Isn't he doing a show today?
No question.
From Fox.
Oh, he's going to do the Patriots Friday from Fox. Oh, because there's no players available.
Right. That's why he taped his interviews earlier in the week.
Okay.
Is it possible to have a collapsed lung for a short period of time and then have it not collapse?
Luke Jackson is white. Just in case anyone wanted
yes,
to know.
Yes, the doctor informed me that I was incorrect on that. I don't know who I'm thinking of. A guy that...
Luke Walton?
No, he's white, too. Luke Ridenour was a guy with a floppy, you know, a floppy-haired guy, long hair, and I could have sworn that his running mate at Oregon was a short, kind of chubby, you know, for a basketball player, chubby, not like me. But
You might be thinking of Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
Right, I am. Short, chubby guy.
Short, chubby.
Gary from Syracuse, you guys were just talking about the Celtics, and I was just wondering, are the fans in Boston like the fans in Syracuse, fair weather fans, or do they always support their team, Celtics past Bruins, and I have a feeling everyone loves the Sox?
I'll tell you what, go to a Celtics game and count the people there, and that'll answer your question.
But that's, I have no problem with that, because I think
that's being good fans.
Right. Well, I also think they've tried all along, and they always bought into, okay, Rick Pitino, okay, ML Carr is going to lose and set this up and this plan of action. They've bought into him.
I think,
but it's hard to maintain.
I think they're very
that.
Supportive of their teams here, and I don't think it's a good sign of support to go through, what is it, 16 years now? How many years? Going on 20 years now without a sniff of a title to just sit there and pack the place every night. I don't think that's being a good fan. I know that's the definition, or you know, the mainstream definition of they have great fans there through thick and thin. I don't think that's being a good fan.
No, I agree. I think the best way that a fan can voice his displeasure
is by not
showing up and not paying for the tickets. However, you don't see the outcry of like, oh, we missed the Celtics. We just wish they were better.
That's been so long.
They've forgotten.
That's the part, I think there's more people that are like that than you think.
Well, see, that's the part. They've just grown indifferent.
They've been so bad for so long.
Right.
See, moving to this area, that's the one thing that I was so surprised about. It just feels like nobody cares about the Celtics. And to me, they're one of like the top five teams in all of sports history.
I think people want to care. They just haven't
all
had anything
to care. All you have to do is go back, whatever, 3 years ago.
2 days. That Rondo kid has 29 points, and I heard callers calling EEI. This guy's steal of the draft. Did you see that game last night?
They'll support. If they win a few games,
they are so ready to jump on board.
When they made that run to the Eastern Conference Finals with Antoine and Pierce, they went crazy.
So if the Patriots stunk and weren't good, would there be more focus like on the Celtics?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. The whole winter is dominated by the Patriots because they're so good.
Right.
And the other teams don't get any of the attention because they've been so bad, the Bruins and Celtics.
And I should mention, if you're Syracuse, if you're talking about like college, colleges really don't have fair weather fans because...
Yes, they do.
Well, most colleges...
Give us an example, Doctor.
Syracuse.
Oh, that's what this emailer is saying.
He's 100% accurate.
The Syracuse fans are fair weather.
You're telling me when West Virginia comes that dome's not going to be packed? Is that what you're trying to tell me? Because I'll watch the damn game and count the people. I've been to Syracuse many times. If you're saying that they think the team sucks, they're right. But that dome is packed every game. It's different in college.
I know. I've been there 3 or 4 times and it's been packed every time.
Well, it's an event. You know, you go for the
plus
event.
Plus, you're only there for 4 years. It's part of your whole thing, right? I mean, that's part of the experience.
I would say the students get behind the team, but not necessarily the community up there.
Oh, okay. I'm saying the students will always be there ready to go no matter what.
Aren't the community up there? I mean, it's not like...
But like even like if you go to an Indiana football game, when's the last time they had a good team? There's still fans there. They're still tailgating because that's part of going to college.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. I don't know. All I know is that the Bruins and the Celtics, they don't deserve a lot of, you know, going crazy because they've screwed up.
Unlike the Red Sox.
Well, but the Red Sox have been good. I mean, there's a difference between screwing up and not
they
winning
spend
a title.
Money.
You know what I'm saying, Tom? There's a difference between screwing up and not
winning.
Wasn't
there a long period that the Red Sox weren't good?
No.
Not really.
No. They've been good consistently every year since 67.
Well, they had a stretch
in
the 70s.
I'm not saying that they haven't had any bad
years. So did the Yankees.
Well, the 70s wasn't a good use of that.
Well, they had they were very good. For a good stretch there.
They've been, I mean, more often than not, they've been a good team and a contending team every year since 67.
Yeah.
Now, there's a difference between having a year like this where you just didn't make the right moves and, you know, you weren't really.
But they tried. You can see them
trying. They were also in first place midway through the year.
And they came off 3 consecutive years where they were a playoff team and had as good a chance to win the World Series as anybody, and they won one.
But then you get a team like the Bruins, and it's just so obvious, you know, up until now.
They don't try.
The coaches that they choose are guys that are going to be yes men, and then the one guy, Burns, who they, you know, is a strong coach, they drive him out of town because they're just not going to help him.
Same thing with Mike Keenan.
Yeah.
Plus, they got sold a bill of goods on the whole CBA lockout thing, that they had this plan in place, and we're going to be better prepared than anyone in the league.
The fans, you mean?
Yeah.
Okay. I thought you meant the Bruins.
I think hardcore Bruins fans bought into that line, thinking, okay, when we come back, we are going to be so well-placed to compete in the new NHL, and they stunk.
Yep. Well, I don't know anything about hockey, but I know who Joe Thornton is. And if I was a Bruins fan and you still supported the team after that trade, I'd have been out the door.
Tom, you know the rule I learned that in fantasy football, if you're trading one player for two, it's a bad deal? In any major sport, if you're trading a superstar and get a bunch of chumps in return, it's a bad deal.
Quantity over quality is never
not good.
Is never the way to go.
Dan at Fairfax, the working definition of narrow-minded, someone is not interested in pursuing something you like. Jericho is okay, but not great. The best new show this season is Heroes, but I don't know if you guys would watch it because it's opposite Monday Night Football.
That's the problem.
I did see the opening one, and it was very good.
A lot of people have been talking about that show. They replay it on Fridays, and I haven't been able to catch it.
I watched a little of
it. You can get it on iTunes.
I don't really understand it. What is supposed to be the
price? Yeah, now we're kind of behind.
I miss a lot of shows for that reason. You call me narrow-minded. I feel like I can't jump in and catch up.
No, that's fair. That's fair. But Heroes is just normal people who all of a sudden realize that they have these special powers and how they deal with it. But I only saw the first one, so I don't know what's going on.
I'm going to watch it tonight at 7.
I'll never be home.
7 on Friday, and then it's on Monday.
Watch it on iTunes. You can watch it anytime you want.
Because they replay it on the Sci-Fi Network.
Oh.
Do they have it on demand?
It costs money to watch things on iTunes.
Fuck 99.
I couldn't even get to
spend
the
more on your coffee at Dunkin' Donuts.
I don't drink coffee, and I'm not watching anything on iTunes.
And I couldn't get. I wouldn't drink.
The Nine, a good show.
Hey, hi ho.
What?
Coffee? No interest. Okay. Narrow-minded.
And if you're paying $1.99 for it, you should be slapped upside the head. Quite frankly,
that's what a coffee costs. If you go to Dunkin' Donuts, get a large coffee. That's what you're paying.
$2.05, I think.
Something like that.
I'm putting this down as my favorite show ever. Fred Kirsch, ladies and gentlemen.
Unfortunately, we don't matter. It's the listeners.
Steering the ship, Fred Kirsch.
The music from Halloween was better than the music from Friday the 13th. And can we put Dave Meggett on the prison team as a punt returner? Absolutely.
As a punt returner, no doubt. We should have done that as the whole premise of the show. Who was the emailer that suggested that? The all-prison team?
All-prison team, I don't know.
That was a good one.
You know me. I have the music for Halloween as my
your ringtone,
the message thing. You get a message and everyone thinks it's the X-Files, but the ch-ch-ch from Friday the 13th is by far the best.
I don't know what that is.
Yeah.
That's the noise they make. That's what they make.
If the doctor played that right now, I'd screw right
out
the back door.
What about the Chainsaw Massacre?
I don't have any music.
No. Now they have all new ones, though. They had a new one last year. Now they got a new one this week.
They all suck, except for the first one.
Yeah.
I never seen any of them.
Okay. I don't like those disturbing movies. They stick with me. You know, I can't shake them. You know, they do scare me.
I don't like them.
Have you read the book? I believe it's The Haunted.
I'm still trying to get over Silence of the Lambs.
You read The Haunted?
No. Why, is that good?
Apparently it's short stories, and the first short story, he's done readings, and people have passed out, and some people puke. I guess it's really, really disturbing. A lot of people have problems after.
How could it be any good? It's a book.
Well, because if it's well written enough, it allows your mind to be even more disturbing than anything else. And I don't think that'll be any problem.
Touché.
All right.
You bottle that
one. Two and a Half Men, Fred. You don't watch Two and a Half Men either, huh?
No interest.
No interest.
Not that I don't have any interest. Don't have the time.
Watch it on iTunes.
I hear it's a very good show.
Watch it on iTunes.
It's very well written. It's very clever.
Yeah.
I got to go with Andy, though. I thought it was very well written, and I gave credit to the writers, but Andy said they just asked Charlie Sheen what he did this weekend, and they wrote it.
It seems like
right now they're kind of writing on the fly, and apparently Charlie Sheen isn't doing anything exciting anymore.
No, but my point with that isn't necessarily, when I say that, I think it's clever, and we've talked about this off the air, but when I say it's clever and well written, you can come up with the idea from Charlie Sheen.
Oh no!
I think the jokes and a lot of the.
I just think they have a fat, funny kid.
There's a lot of subtle humor to it, and that kid's just he's a very, very gifted
my stupid humor
child actor.
Fat kids, funny.
Monkeys.
Animals and monkeys. Funny. I'm very simple.
I go away from the animal humor.
Oh, no. You put it.
Come on. The
monkey
commercial?
A monkey in a commercial.
Wait, monkey commercial with the pointers, and he's messing with the guy.
That's
one of the funniest commercials ever.
There should actually be no people in commercials. I can't believe that the whole world hasn't figured this out. If you put monkeys in suits or monkeys in a baseball cap.
You put a monkey in a suit, I'm
on PFW in progress. Our listenership would go up.
Okay, let's do the test then. What's that commercial for?
What?
Which one?
The monkey with the pointer.
It's a jobs thing.
Yeah,
the website, jobs,
isn't it?
Or one of those
so
websites.
You don't even know what it's for. .com or something like that?
I don't watch them for the advertising purposes. I watch them to be entertained.
So maybe that's why they don't have animals in commercials.
No, well,
if you were in the job market, you would know what that commercial is.
Tell us something.
We only have 9 minutes left in the show, so we don't have to get into my advertising rant.
But, no, Paul doesn't believe in advertising.
It's the biggest waste of money in the history of corporations.
I don't know. I think effective.
So funny that no one else in the world agrees with Paul.
We'll never find out if I'm right, though, because no one will ever take a chance.
I think 80% of advertising dollars are wasted. But you look at some companies. Jordan's Furniture built its empire on radio ads.
But
I mean,
that's a different kind of thing, too. And I don't. When I say the advertising, I don't mean it in a blanket way that no one should ever advertise. I'm talking about like the major, corporate, Coke and Pepsi.
But how did they get to be major?
Billions and billions of dollars.
I'm going to agree with Paul on that.
I just don't think
either going to drink Coke at this point or you're not. It's the number one known word in the entire world.
Can I give you a little story about advertising?
I could go for some sort of soft drink.
The freaking fruit cart.
That has some sugar.
Oh, did I already tell you that one?
You've told me a number of times. I don't know if Tom's heard it.
What?
Now, Jordan's Furniture, Fred, I think is an excellent example on your side.
My story about advertising?
Yeah, I heard it.
You did?
Yeah.
Well done, Tom. Well done.
You guys are a bunch of jerks. Yeah, you don't want to learn anything? That's fine with me.
I did. I was in the office one day. When you were telling Andy, I was right there.
What's the story?
About you and the fruit cart.
You don't know what you're All right. Gary says, we are not Ohio State. You need to see the dome now. It is half empty.
Well, now, if that's the case, then okay.
I was talking more for basketball, by the way, than football.
Oh, I think Syracuse basketball is still hot, isn't it? Yeah.
Well, they haven't been that good, though, lately.
Yeah, but I was always under the assumption. They're really, really upset there right now. I know that. But I still figured that dome would be packed.
Who's the head coach
week in and week out? So I guess, who's that guy's name? Jason?
Greg Robinson.
Are you Jason?
Greg Robinson for football.
No, you. Are you Jason? You
no,
were right.
Greg Robinson.
That's the doc.
I'm not good with names.
I went there for 4 years.
What's that?
I went to Syracuse for 4 years.
Went to Syracuse?
How
did you end up graduating?
Now?
Did you end up graduating or did you just go there?
How are those what's looking?
Student loans.
Oh. Yeah.
Did you, what was your major?
Marketing.
Marketing. They have a good communication school, right?
Well, yeah, really, one of the top three in the country.
Is it Newhouse or something?
Newhouse School of Communication, something like that. You know, when your college has a special name for one major, it's pretty good.
Yeah, them, Northwestern, and Columbia all have special names for their journalism program. So
Northeastern have any special names for any of their majors?
Special needs, yes.
Oh.
Ba-dum-bum. So now no one's listening.
I was asked by John Rook to go back to my alma mater to talk on Monday night.
Yeah, to speak at their class journalism.
Yeah.
Are you doing it?
Yeah.
To be a fly on the wall.
Spring a Super Bowl ring and pass.
I would like to actually go in after.
That's what I do.
And do
Fred,
a report
do
with the people who heard Fred talk and do a story on that.
Just make sure that you have Nikki, check you out before you leave. Make sure you're dressed well.
Or stained.
Emerson. It's
your hair is combed.
It's Emerson. You don't have to dress up.
Oh, so you're going
to
wear your
sandals. Emerson was a girls' school.
What?
I thought Emerson was an all-girls school.
No, that's Emmanuel.
Isn't there one in Boston that's an all-female?
Simmons.
There's a lot of those in the medical.
Pine Manor, otherwise known as Pine Mattress.
Ooh, Pine Manor is a school?
Yeah, it's a girls' school.
I've never heard of it.
Really?
Never heard.
A lot of schools in Boston.
Pine Manor?
Yeah.
Leslie, is that a girl?
All those all girls school, and our intern
not an
can't get a kiss.
And our intern is
Kyle.
21 and never been kissed.
Is that right?
He's got a girlfriend, except she's more interested in the rest of his roommates.
Kissing somebody else.
Hanging out, playing,
He's too busy playing the bass.
Yeah, Kyle's still immature. He
plays his guitar and plays video games all night long while drinking.
I want to kiss you.
Dipping.
Still thinking in
college and inhaling something.
It's been a tough transition for young Kyle from college to real life.
Is that right? Well, you guys are here to help him along.
We've done our best.
Yeah.
We've had some, what do they call those things?
Interventions.
Interventions about his love life or lack thereof.
You guys missed the classic yesterday when he had that dip in his mouth. And I came in and I go, what are you doing that stuff? And he got all upset because Lori gives him a hard time for dipping. And he's like, shh.
And he does anything Lori tells him.
Don't let Lori.
See, you know what's funny about that?
We're discussing it?
Well, no. I would never.
On the air?
I would never consider chewing tobacco at work.
I wouldn't either.
No.
I don't know when that became appropriate.
I used to chew a can every 2 days.
The doctor and Gary both do back then.
Yeah, but that's a different thing.
Yeah, they're by themselves
down here.
That's a
different thing. I'm talking about what we do.
Bert Breer in a press conference.
When Bledsoe's friend used to work for me, I used to have to tell him to knock it off.
I have to tell your intern.
I used to chew a can every 2 days. I love to chew tobacco, but when I was at a professional setting, I didn't need to sit there with a dip in my mouth, spit in a cup. That's all mental. It's all
ridiculous.
Garbage.
You know what's amazing? The more and more time that we spend with Tom, the more and more vices we find out that Tom had.
Well, I had plenty of vices.
I used to murder four people a week. But now that
I was addicted to nasal spray, chewing tobacco, gambling, I was all over the place.
Oh, I could just see it with the Vicks thing,
yep.
The little tube. You know who used
Afrin.
To be? You know
Remember,
who else was?
Afrin is addicted.
There was another guy.
Jim Donaldson.
Yeah.
Yeah, because you know what it
does. Watch him now. Anytime you see him, he has one in his pocket. He'll just be walking around as casually as.
Well, you know what it does is it increases it inflames your membranes.
Sure it does.
So then it depends on it. So that's why I was on steroids for a week because they had to give me steroids to take it down. Man, was I strong.
Yeah, that's why you were on steroids.
Man, was I strong. That's why I always say if I didn't have diabetes, I'd have been taking steroids for 10 years.
Well, that's what one of our viewers. Who was watching the Neckin show on Tuesday nights at 11, repeated at 11:30, said that compared to Chris Collins, who's not that big a guy, he said, we all look like we're on steroids. And then somebody said that Tom Casale looked like he was going to eat him.
I'm going to eat you. You know what play I really haven't seen during the course of this week was that interception that Bledsoe threw to Lito Shepherd in the end zone. I need to see that one more time.
Well, is it on somewhere?
I get them all mixed up. Is that the one from last week?
Lito Shepherd, the Burger King man, they all look the same.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's going to do it for this edition of PFW in Progress.
For that one person that's still listening, sorry
about that.
We got Patriots Monday on Monday, right? Even though it's a bye week. Okay, and then we'll see you back here on Tuesday.
Wednesday next week.
Have a good weekend. Enjoy watching football.
Thank you.